pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Item 5, citizens' participation. The first one we have is Donna Dryer. Do you want to wait for that item?
I'll wait there.
The next one is Mr. Del Pena. Would you like to come forward? Would you like to wait for your item as well? Okay. Mr. Sam Mann, 4803 Gibbs Sprawl, regarding Kirby condition. I apologize, we're having a few technical difficulties this evening.
You want me to start over, or are we okay?
You can start where you left off. That's
okay.
Fine. Thank you.
In my opinion, it's, you know, this community is going downhill. Number one, you come in, say, come into the city hall. You come in off of 78, and before you make the right-hand turn, it's like a junkyard. You're going through junkyards. You come up Hedwick, and not a junkyard, but it looks like a construction site. Debris scattered in the yard. Concrete mixer sitting in the yard. I don't know how long it's been there. You get to the city hall. I don't know if they're still here or not, but I used to do a lot of walking. I'd come by the city hall, and there's about 25 dogs next door, upstairs and downstairs, barking at you. Across the street, looks like a jungle. There are people trying to better the city. Just right over here, this little house has a nice fresh paint job, looks real nice. Across the street, this is all on Hedwick. Across the street, looks like a construction company possibly just finished up a remodel. That house is really neat looking, nice looking. Then you have, it just takes away. You know, people are trying to keep things nice, but, you know, just a few of the bad things take away all the good things. I wished y'all could look into this and see what you could do. You know, I don't plan to move. But I don't want to live in a slum either. And that's about all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Jeff Flynn, Northeast Herald.
Hi, for those who don't know me, my name is Jeff Flynn. I'm with the Northeast Herald. I'm here today on behalf of the Kirby Senior Center. I'm working with Norma Hamby. We are a decade ago or so, Cindy was very active, had her monthly breakfasts. I remember shooting Police Chief Crespo at the time, slinging hash, slinging eggs, whatever it was. It was a good little deal. We're going to reinstitute, and I'm working with Norma for a breakfast on Saturday, September 15th, from 8:30 to 10:30. We're kind of approaching it from the idea that those we elect to serve, we're inviting them to come serve. One of them is going to be Mayor Lisa Pierce. We'll invite you to come between 8:30 and 10:30 and help serve. I'm talking with Commissioner Tommy Calvert, State Rep Barbara Gervin Hawkins. I've talked with Pete Arguello from Congressman Cuellar's office. Kirby isn't actually in his coverage area, but you know, we're going to try to make this more than just Kirby. I want to invite people up and down FM 78. So talk to Steve Linscombe from Judson about inviting the new Judson superintendent, Dr. Ball. Invite her out, see if she can come. Wagner's principal, Mary. Yeah, Toppin. I knew Toppin. There's a word named before the hyphen. I couldn't remember what that one is. We're going to talk with, I just missed him on Saturday at the backpack handout, the Sheriff Salazar. I'd like to invite him. And these are some people I'd love to invite, but I don't have any names, so I'd like to get with somebody. Union Pacific, GM, whoever your contact is that got the Union Pacific plaque we had here for a while. HEB store manager. And this District 19 has a runoff election on Tuesday the 18th, which is 3 days after this. So I've kind of talked to, they're both named Pete, so I just kind of flipped a coin and talked to one Pete, because I don't think you want to invite two of them here at the same time. So I've talked with Richard Vargas in Pete Gallego's office.
Election, it might be good to have them both here.
Right. That's what, you know, that's one thing I'm selling this at is what we like to do is like 1 hour, you guys are in the kitchen with her crew while these people mingle with the Kirby and the Converse and the San Antonio residents. Then you switch places. So you go back and cook while they come out and shake hands and press the flesh. Because, you know, I told Pete Arguello, I said, these are people who you meet in Kirby who never have access to any of these people except your mayor. They don't have access to Barbara Gervin Hawkins. They don't have access to Tommy Calvert. They don't have access to Dr. Ball. But this is one way to get those people in front of these people. And I thought, you know, what a better way to kick off something. And I think Norma said she'd like to do it quarterly. And I'll work with her for the December one when we invite the fire department and the police department to come cook. And this is for the first time they're hearing that too. So maybe they can pick a good weekend in December for them to do the same thing. So that's just the way, you know, I've sit out here a long time, you know, and I don't come up and speak. I'm not a good speaker in front of people, and unless I'm on a script, and I'm not scripted, I'm just slinging it like the eggs. So that's what I want to do to help out. And you know, I remember when Cindy was here, and she had a program where every month, you know, she had programs every other Saturday going on, every other Saturday. And, you know, it'd be nice to get back to that situation where, you know, Kirby seniors. I told Norma, but I'm not going to mention which one it was, but I talked to one of the officers, one of the staff members at one of the reps, and she said, does Kirby have a senior center? I said, oh, my God. I said, if you don't come on the 15th, just come beforehand. You have to call Norma and just, you know, talk to her, call a half hour early and come out and visit. Just come in and sit. And I emailed her a bunch of photos I downloaded off the websites, you know, the Valentine's Day and a birthday celebration and all. I sent it to her saying, here's what a senior center does. And it's kind of a shame that somebody who's a state rep doesn't know you have a senior center. So hopefully, you know, this will awaken some open some eyes on this side and bring some people, you know, if you can't find clear backpacks for your kids, you know, maybe somebody can mention that there. If you have questions about my son at Wagner, here's an answer for that. You know, Can you tell me, Tommy Calvert, tell me about that substation that's going to be in Converse. How's that going to help us here? You know, I live in Ventura, or I live in Brookview, or whatever the subdivisions are between here and there. So I want to make it more vast than just Kirby, but it's intended for Kirby. You know, we want Kirby residents to come out and be able to talk to people that they've probably never met before in their lives, and they may never meet again, but they vote for them all the time. So thank you.
Mr. Lindstrom from Jetson ISD. This would be regarding the construction update.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I appreciate you giving me the time to give you a brief construction update on some of the projects that are going on within Jetson ISD and within the Kirby immediate area. I'm Steve Linscom, the Director of Communications for Jetson ISD. Probably the biggest project that we have going on right now, at least in this immediate area, of course, is Kirby Middle School. We've got a number of things going on there. Building 600, work on that particular project has actually started, as well as the raising and replacing of Building 400 over there. We've got contractors on site now. There's been some ripping up of the pavement, the asphalt towards kind of the back part of the campus area. So the gymnasium and so forth is going to be replaced. Building 400, again, that is going to be raised and replaced as well. The projected completion date for that is going to be the summer of 2020. So just by that alone, you know that that's a pretty big project. It's going to take a little bit of time for that to be completed. The re-roofing project there at Kirby Middle School is just about ready to begin. The JISD Facilities and Planning has reviewed the documents and has coordinated with the purchasing department for advertisement. This project went out to bid August the 8th, and we anticipate recommendation to the Board of Trustees in September. Hopkins Elementary School, a lot of that work has been completed except for some internal kind of infrastructure type work. The chillers have been replaced. The vestibule at the main entrance of the school has been constructed. And so now when you go in, you are forced to go into the office area. You cannot go into that common area immediately. The re-roofing project there in phase one, ARMCO is going to be conducting walkthroughs if they have not already. That project is just about finished. They're just waiting closeout documentation on that particular project. And then, of course, Escondido Elementary School, that's our newest school off of Ben Zingelman Road. That has reached substantial completion. In fact, it opened up the first day of school, just still kind of wrapping up some details with that particular project. We'll still have workers out there for about another month wrapping things up and doing some of the fine-tuning of that campus, but it is up and running, and we have students in there and teachers working and books, furniture, everything else that is needed at a campus. So if you have any kind of questions, feel free to contact Dr. Milton Fields. He's the operations director there at Jetson ISD, and he can answer any of your questions that you have, or I'll be around here for a little while myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, that concludes the citizens signed up until we get to those specific agenda item numbers. Item 6A, consideration of action on special meeting and workshop minutes of July 31st. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion to accept the meeting minutes and the regular meeting.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the special meeting and workshop minutes of July 31st. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Item 6B, regular meeting minutes of August 9th, 2018. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the regular meeting minutes of August 9th, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept the meeting minutes of August 9th. Is there any discussion? Any, all in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Item 7A, National Payroll Proclamation. I believe we have a representative. Agenda item 8A, before I close the regular meeting, I will turn it over to our financial director, Tina, so that she can go over her information.
Public hearing on the proposed tax rate for October 1st through 2018, ending 9/30/2019. Okay. First is the property taxes. We are proposing the same rate as last year. The fiscal year ending for 2018, for the actual, the M&O was 0.689376, and the interest and sinking was 0.040000, which is the same tax rate as 0.729376. We are proposing the same tax rate, but the MNO is 0.616376, and the interest in sinking is 0.0113000. So the tax rate has not changed, it's just the MNO and the interest sinking. As you notice, that this is the notice for the 2018 tax year proposed property tax rate for the city of Kirby. The tax rate of 0.729376 is $100 of per 100 valuation has been proposed for adoption by the governing body of the city of Kirby. This rate exceeds the lower of the effective or rollback tax rate, and state law requires that two public hearings be held by the governing body by adopting the proposed tax rate. Again, the proposed tax rate is 0.729376. Last year was the same rate. The effective tax rate is 0.647174. The rollback tax rate is 0.768300. The effective tax rate is the total tax rate needed to raise the same amount of property tax revenue for the city of Kirby from the properties in both of 2017 tax year and the 2018 tax year. The rollback tax rate is the highest tax rate that city of Kirby may adopt before voters are entitled to petition for an election to limit the rate that may be approved to the rollback rate. Your taxes owed under any of the above rates can be calculated as follows. The property tax amount equal rate times taxable value of your property divided by 100. We urge you to come to the public hearing. The first one is today on the 23rd. The second hearing will be on August the 30th at 6 p.m. here at the City Hall. Property tax roll for 2017, which was prior year, the net taxable value was $258,300,222 at the tax rate of 729376. The tax levy was $1,883,980. The MNO for that was $1,780,660. The INS was $103,320. Using the calculation rate of 98.78%. The property tax for 2018, which is the current year, the net taxable value would be $325,965,839. The same tax rate as 729376. The tax levy is $2,377,517. The MNO will be $2,009,175. The interest in sinking will be $368,341. Again, the collection rate will be 98.12% for 2018. Your average resident value for 2017, the average tax rate was $89,857 at the tax rate of 729376, which was $655.40. For 2018, your average taxable is $98,214 at the same tax rate, which will equal to $716.35. That is an increase of $60.95 over prior year. The property taxes is figured as 48.29% of the general fund reserves, revenues, I'm sorry. The current property tax revenue is $2,009,175. The current property tax to the city of San Antonio is $173,555. $1,000. That is the amount that we will have to pay back to the city of San Antonio for the next 15 years. That's not going to be that amount every year, but that's what we're going to be paying for 2018. Our estimate for delinquent property tax revenue is $30,000. So that makes it a total property tax revenue of $1,865,620. Again, this percentage does not include the grant that's funded to the city of Privy. The general fund overview, the revenue we have totaled $6,206,879. Transfer from the water fund is $628,761. So that makes a total of $6,835,640. Total amount of expenditures is $7,969,271. The amount of money that we transfer to the debt service for next fiscal year will be $252,470, which would be a deficit of $1,386,101. The recap for the general fund expenditures are: the council is $14,295, the administration is $409,083, police is $1,471,160, court is $96,036, fire and EMS is $1,487,265. Animal care is $231,808. Parks is $187,816. Streets is $3,603,961. And total general operations is $467,847. So the total expenditures for the general fund will be $7,969,271. Capital outlay for the police department will be vehicles for $40,000, the mobile data terminal $17,000, the body cameras of $7,000, radar unit replacement is $4,225, and the evidence tracking, which is $9,460. So their total capital outlay will be $77,685. For the fire department capital outlay, STRAC equipment, which is a grant that we get from STRAC, is $5,000. Bunker gear is $9,859. Heart monitor, $28,000. Hoses, $5,000. Stretcher, $27,000. Radios, $25,232. And Spectra lights, $5,384. That totals to $1,475,000. The capital outlay for them will be the mower with the broom, $4,700, and the gator is $7,000. So the total for them will be $11,700. Street department, the capital outlay will be the vehicle, $37,500. Benz Engelman, which is the MPO project, is $2,446,077. The Hickory Hill, which is a CDBG grant, is $582,138,000. The asphalt truck, $148,761. The total will be $3,214,476. Debt service, which is our interest and sinking fund. The total ad valorem tax collection will be $368,341. Transferred from the general fund is $252,470. And the interest for that account would be $50 estimate. Total to $620,861. The bond principal for the last series 2009 note would be $345,000. The bond interest for the series 2009 and 2018 would be $258,938. So the paying agent fee is $3,000, and that is for the 2009 series. I don't know what the 2018 is going to be, so right now I just have $3,000. So the total expenditures is $606,938. So that would give us an excess of $13,923. For the City of Kirby announcement regarding the vote in tax rate and budget, the meetings are held here at the Council to vote on the tax rate will be Thursday, September 13th at 7 p.m. So that would be the first reading. And the second reading will be Thursday, September the 20th at 6 p.m. Special call.
All right, so at this time, I will close our regular meeting at 7:32, and I will open the public hearing on item 8A. This will be the public hearing on proposed budget for 2018-2019 fiscal year. And I will open this public hearing at 7:32. Is there anybody in our audience who wishes to speak on this matter? This is not for council, so this is for our attendance. Okay. Anybody? All right, I will close the public hearing at 7:33. On item 8A, I will open the public hearing on 8B. This will be the public hearing on the proposed tax rate of 0.729376 for 2018-2019 fiscal year. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on the proposed tax rate at this public hearing? Okay, I will close the public hearing at 7:33 on item 8B, the proposed tax rate of 729376 for 2018-2019 fiscal year. Item 8C, I will open the public hearing at 7:34 for a public hearing on a request for a variance from the zoning ordinance C2 Commercial District, section 153, 0.070B4 to authorize construction of an attached garage that will encroach the 25-foot front yard setback by 8 feet on the south corner and 1 foot on the north corner of the proposed garage and to section 153.020B6 to consider encroachment of 10 inches into the 5-foot side yard setback located at CB 5941 Block 5, Lot 51, otherwise known as 4807 Gibbs Brawl Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this matter? Okay, I will close the public hearing on item C, requesting a variance zoning or from the zoning ordinance. I will open the public hearing on 8D at 7:35 on a request for a variance from the City Noise Ordinance Section 94.17G, Acts Creating Unlawful Noises, to waive the 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. construction hours to starting at approximately 3 a.m. to allow for early morning concrete pours at Kirby Middle School construction site located at CB4018B, Lot 50, EXCSWIRR, 115.83 feet of 50, or ARB 50A, otherwise known as 5441 Old Seguin Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak on this request? If we can do discussion, that way we can go back and forth if there's any questions. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this? All right, I will close the public hearing on 8D at 7:36. I will reconvene our regular meeting at 7:36, and we will go into 9A. Discussion and possible action to award a bid for group insurance. I will turn this over to our city manager.
And we'll introduce Marsh Worth, our brokers, to come up and give us a presentation. So you have 2 days in front of you, executive summary, and then we have a down copy of our.
Mayor, Council, and Administration, my name is Jenny Half. I'm with Marsh Wortham, and I have been the agent of record on the city for many years in regards to your insurance for the employees of the city. This year, in front of you, you have an executive summary that I'm going to start with, and then we may dig into the other proposal, but... So this year, we're currently with United Healthcare. This is our second renewal with United Healthcare. Initially, we received an 11% rate increase, which would have been an overall $34,000 increase to your premiums. But because, as is our job, we put it out to bid. And that's what we do for you. We put it out with the other carriers. And then we negotiate on your behalf to see if we can negotiate the premiums down. I have some good news for you that we have negotiated a rate pass. So the existing plan and the existing premiums can be renewed with United Healthcare for another year. And that would be option one that you see there. So no changes at all. Attributed to that is your... loss ratio. Loss ratio is when we compare your premiums to the claims. And in past years, for those who have been here for years, we've had some rough years. And this year, I'm happy to say that we're running at 54%, which is really good. And so we were able to, because of the health and the claims of your employees, it's heading in the right direction, so we were able to use their claim status to help us negotiate. It also didn't help that we got a really good deal in from Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is a good segue into option two. So option two is we would change carriers to Blue Cross Blue Shield. We, the city, were with Blue Cross Blue Shield from 2010 to 2014. We had a quick hiatus with Humana for a couple years, and then we switched to United. So we've been with Blue Cross Blue Shield. They are offering, if you look on page three, if you're interested in the bound proposal, this is a comparison of your current plan. There's three plans listed because it shows the financial impact of the 11% initial increase. The middle is United Healthcare option one to accept the rate pass with the exact same plan design. And then option two would be the Blue Cross Blue Shield option. At the top, you see all the employees listed there. What you'll note is at the bottom, I want to draw your attention to the benefits. So what's in red is worse. What's in green is, quote, better. So that can help you understand that when I switch or when we switch carriers from one to another, it's never exact, right? Because the contracts are different. And that's also part of our job is to analyze the contracts. So when you see there that we switched to Blue Cross Blue Shield, certainly the physicians are about the same. Could we have some that fall off the plan? Possibly. They're not ever equal, but they're comparable in physician from a physician standpoint. It's a comparable plan with a $3,000 deductible and 100% plan. It is less out of pocket, which is the deductible plus all the copays would now be $3,500, which is nice with Blue Cross Blue Shield. There is an increase in office visit copays. Your current is 30 and 60 for PCPs and specialists. It would now go to 35 and 70. We have the urgent care would remain the same. Virtual visits, currently you pay, your employees pay $25 copay for virtual visits, which is calling a physician on a cell phone. We're all getting used to that and it's convenience. On your new contract with UnitedHealthcare, even though the benefits remain the same, you actually get an adjustment this year, which it's going to be a zero copay for virtual visits, which is nice. On the new plan with Blue Cross Blue Shield, if you elected option two, that would be a $35 copay. The $300 emergency room copay stays the same with United, but it goes to $500 with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And then you'll see at the bottom a couple of tier differences with the prescription drugs. One thing I will also note with United Healthcare that I know I've heard feedback from your employees is they have a no copay program for children under 19, which is utilized, and folks appreciate that and like that. So that's one thing that Blue Cross doesn't have. Blue Cross also does not use CVS, which is a lot of your folks seem to use CVS, so that could be another issue as well. However, option two, as you can see from the executive summary, if I flip back to the summary, is a $22,562 savings to the city. But obviously your employees will have some adjustments to their plan. Before I go on to the ancillary benefits, do you have any questions on the medical? Because that's your bigger ticket item. Any questions? Okay. Oh.
No, I just gotta say that it looks like, yeah, there's a savings there in a way, but on the backside, no. Because they're gonna get it from our people, and I can't see that one going that way.
And not only that, but since the deductibles, I mean, even the hospital,
yep,
it goes from $300 to $500 copay.
It's emergency room, it's going to, yeah, so it's a savings, but it's not. It made kind of a small savings to us, but it's really getting in the wallet of our employees. I don't think that's
care.
A good deal. But, yeah, I understand what you did. But, yeah, our other plan's not broken. I can't see why we would want to fix anything. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I appreciate the comment. You know, with most of my clients, what I tend to advise them is, you know, if you can save 10, 12, 15%, then nowadays you ought to consider that. We're slightly under that. We negotiated a rate pass. It may not be the year to make any changes, but of course that's up to you guys. But a rate pass is unique in our world. We don't see that very often. So if we can not fix what ain't broke, that's always nice. We do have some dental, vision, and life offerings. Our recommendation is to switch to the standard insurance. And as y'all know, dental, life, vision insurance somewhat is a commodity. Our job is to, there's 25 different carriers that we shop just to make sure that we can get you the best rate possible. They're comparable contracts. Yes, they're dentists and their vision optometrists are a little different. But if we can save your employees money in any way that we can on the dental and the vision, we certainly try to do that. And this may be the year to do that. You'll see a savings on the dental of 6.7% decrease. On the vision, it's a 10% decrease, and on the life insurance, it's a 2.7% decrease. We try to bundle those ancillary coverages together so we get a better discount from the insurance company. The other good news is on the vision, it's a 2-year rate guarantee, and on the life insurance, it's a 3-year rate guarantee, which means we don't have to touch that for a couple years on the dental and the vision because the rates will remain the same. The life insurance will also, the voluntary life that the employees enjoy to add additional coverages on themselves, their spouse, or their kiddos, that will also follow the standard life insurance, so we would switch on the voluntary life as well. So if you look at your current employer cost or city cost at the bottom, it's $245,455. Option one and option two will be a decrease from 2017-2018, so you'll see for 18 and 19, if you elect option one, it's $244,839, and for option two, it's $222,281. Any questions?
You did good. The money's already there, so it's just to break even. I cannot see changing that, not at all.
Is there any further discussion?
No.
You would need a motion to approve option one of the medical.
And if that's the motion, will that encompass all the dental, vision?
First standard.
Do we put it all in one, or just?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. And then vote on each motion separately?
Yeah, we can do the medical and then just do all the ancillary.
Okay. All right, so I will entertain a motion for the medical.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept option one with United and remain the same.
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to accept option one for medical with United Healthcare. Is there any further discussion or questions? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Mangan?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Akinaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
Yes.
That's for medical, so I will now entertain a motion for dental, vision, and life.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the vision, dental, and voluntary life to go with option one, the standard.
Sure.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the standard proposal for dental, vision, and life. Any further discussion or questions? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Mangan?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you all very much
for all your input.
Thank you.
Item 9B, discussion and possible action on San Antonio Living History Texas Revolt event. Mr. Delapenda.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council members, along with the administrative staff.
My name is Eladio De La Pena, and I'm president of the San Antonio Living History. And pardon me for the late date request. We were inundated this year with the 300th anniversary of the city. We took on another repertoire, if you will. We did Spanish reenactments as well as Texas Revolution events. So I'm asking once again for your generous consideration of the use of Friendship Park to host our Texas in Revolt 1835. We have 50 committed reenactors coming, along with about a half dozen horses and a couple of cannons as well. We also have guests from Valero Corporation, along with USAA and HEB, as they're looking to sponsor our organization, because we have been a nonprofit organization, as you well know, for the last 25 years, actually. We're actually celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. And so we would like very much once again to, again, ask for your generous consideration of the usage of the park. The evening of October 26th, along with the event itself, will be October 27th. And we will be reenacting two battles, one in the morning, two in the morning, and two in the afternoon.
That will be at the park. But is that the only group? There's not like Little League or football or anything going on?
Football will be waiting on
I would just like to ask that if we move to approve it, that we make sure that the other organizations aren't there, because I mean and not only that, but there'll be other traffic and pictures are being taken to make it as real as possible, so any of the other stuff may not be realistic.
They will be videotaping a film to be used in some other events, so there will be a live camera crew there actually videotaping the event.
So it would be Friday evening and then all day Saturday?
Correct. We would be concluding right around 5 o'clock on Saturday. And we decided to move it a little bit further into the month of October, because as we found out in early October last year, those wool suits were pretty warm, because it was a very warm weekend.
It was a warm weekend.
And we probably spent more money on water than anything else that weekend.
Mayor, I make a motion we grant the permission to use the park on the 26th and the 27th.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to allow the San Antonio Living History Texas Revolt event to take place October 26th, October 27th at Friendship Park. Is there any further discussion? I do have a question. Will you be asking for people, reenactors, and
we will be. In fact, we had a generous donation recently that provided us with over $12,000 worth of period firearms, and so we're top heavy with the Mexican soldado, but we're looking for Texians, and we have the clothing. We just need volunteers to participate with us, is what we're doing. So we're in an active campaign right now from a recruitment standpoint.
Where would volunteers go to be recruited?
They would be able to contact us at our website, which is www.sanantonioliveinhistory.org. And we have a recruitment officer that would be in contact with them as well. Yes, sir.
Do you have any type of literature brochures you might leave with here with our city secretary if somebody comes to the front?
Yeah, I apologize for that. I just drove in from Houston.
Right.
So I will make those available for you. And then we are going to be actively putting posters and flyers, and hopefully the Judson Independent School District, especially the local schools, will look to maybe visiting that event.
There's a nice gentleman right out there.
I made a note of that. So it's a very worthwhile event. We've had students in the past from different school districts, but never have had people from the immediate area. So hopefully we can encourage them to come.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Dela Pena. We look forward to
much.
That event.
All right, thank you.
Item 9C, discussion and possible action on a request for a variance from the zoning ordinance C2 commercial district section 153.070B4 to authorize construction of an attached garage that will encroach the 25-foot front yard setback by 8 feet on the south corner and 1 foot on the north corner of the proposed garage and to section 153.020B6 to consider encroachment of 10 inches into the 5-foot side yard setback located at CB5941 Block 5, Lot 51, otherwise known as 4807 Gibbsprawl Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. There is an application requesting the variance that was included. I saw Mr. Henry, but then he left. I'm not sure if he come back.
I don't believe if you can't stay to ask for your variance, you shouldn't
Sam,
get
would
it.
You like to speak as far as for P&Z, since Mr. Henry is not here?
Sam Richardson, 4802 Gibbsprawl. I had to accuse myself of this thing, but the board voted to give the approval, and they voted to approve.
And?
They had nobody came to was for it or against it. We had nobody that came to the meeting.
Mr. Henry did show up at that. At the P&Z meeting to...
I would think this one's a little bit more important. This is where you get a yes or no.
I just wanted to let you know he did show up there. And there were questions as to... P&Z also had questions as to why it was torn down in the first place. Because if everybody recalls, this was the building that was already established and there was a court date and the judge had asked that it be removed. Because there were permits that were not given. There was a request to stop processes and to stop construction, but it continued so until it made a full garage. So after it's torn down, he's now coming to P&Z again asking for those permits.
Well, understand something too. The original of this was started out as a carport. Somehow, not quite sure, I think it was done at night by Munchkins, it turned into a full-fledged building. The building then went to the encroachment on the city property. When the gentleman came to court, I was here, and so was Councilman Lehman, and he was instructed by the judge to take the building completely down, because he never had a permit to begin with. Well, he kind of went around and he took off the front part, which is showing which is the encroachment, but never took down the rest of the building. Also, the gentleman, and he's not here to defend himself, and I'm sorry if he decided to leave, that's his problem, wired the building, never pulled a permit, so we don't know what the wiring is in that building. It's never been approved or inspected by anyone. So how in the world can you folks, knowing these things or not asking, begin to approve this? Did anybody ask about the wiring? It's general knowledge.
I had to accuse myself of.
They did ask about the wiring, and Patty did inform him that if there was any electricity that was going to be run, because he had actually said that he was going to pull an extension cord.
Oh, I know there's an extension cord. It's still there.
And so then Patty did inform him that he would have to get the proper permits and that it would have to be inspected as well.
So we got the cart before the horse again. This gentleman has decided, I want to ask to build the building, but it's still not up to code. So we're going to give him the building and still not up to code on the electricity? Sam, this is really wrong. I mean, you guys need to do a little more thought process into this. If when the wiring's brought up to code, maybe. But the whole point of it is he came back the second time. We need to get all the story out here and convince the judge to allow what is still standing. So if you read this permit here, what he's asking for, and I think I read English fairly well, he wants to build a building. Well, Coach, is not there a building there, Sam? Is there a building there?
It's currently a carport there.
No, that's not a carport, Sam. It's fully enclosed. What do you call a carport?
But what's up there now was already established.
I understand that, Mayor, but what I'm saying is the original, and I sat through this whole thing and investigated it, the gentleman applied for a carport. That's a roof, freestanding with no sides.
Correct. So
what's there now? Is it enclosed, Sam? Is that enclosed? With lighting and doors, is it?
Let's.
They don't have no doors yet, but.
Oh, it's got doors on the side. It has a side door where the extension cord runs in from that's plugged in into the house that runs all the lights.
Patty, would you like to?
That was existing prior to this variance request. That was probably constructed many, many years ago.
I know, Patty, but what I'm saying is he never asked for anything, did he? I know, but let me ask you a question. Does it not say right here he wants to build a building?
He wants to build a garage.
Okay, what is there right now? Is that not a building? Oh, he's going
to
tear it down now and then build another one?
He already tore it
down. No, ma'am. He did not tear down the oval. All he wants to do is put the facing that was back on it that we made him take off.
What's sitting there now was already sitting there before he built it. The judge made him tear down everything that he put up.
I would sit here and listen to it.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. What is sitting there now, though, was the existing building that's been there for years.
The original one that we were there for.
So there is there's a carport sitting there now.
Carport? No. There's a carport under all of that that's over. In other words, folks, I don't know how many people out here. I'm figuring I've got a pretty intelligent audience. Would you not say a carport is a roof with standing poles and it's open? I defy anybody to go down the street here. I'll pay for your gas or whatever you want. And if you tell me that that's a carport over there, I'll buy you a steak dinner anywhere you want it. Because it's completely, totally enclosed. And all he did was take off the facade that he put on the front because he got in trouble with code compliance. And I don't care. I sat here with Mr. Lehman. And the judge told him he wanted everything torn down and taken away. He said, to the slab. I said, right here, and listen, I may be 74, I may be getting old, but I'm not deaf. Now, he returned a second time because code compliance went and cited him again. And he convinced the judge that it was an old building. It doesn't make any difference, old, new, or whatever. He never got a permit to do what he did. He wired a building that he never had inspected. There's a cord, an extension cord, that is running. I don't know how many. You ought to drive by there at night. You can see, I mean, it's bright. He's okay. Running a lot of lights off that.
Right.
So
let's round back to this one. Okay, so this variance, he's asking to build a garage with on that existing piece.
He wants to add a front door again like he had before.
But it will extend out to the street. I know that you've seen the... So the existing garage that he has, and then he wants to build continue. So that's what this is what this action item is. So I will entertain a motion for...
Let me ask a question.
You want to ask him, Sam? Can we get a motion first, and then we can discuss?
No, it's not. If we don't have a motion, it dies, right? Isn't that funny?
Yeah. That is correct.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Motion?
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to deny this request.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to deny the request for a variance from the Zoning Ordinance C2, Commercial District, Section 153.070, B4 to authorize construction of an attached garage that will encroach the 25-foot front yard setback by 8 feet on the south corner and 1 foot on the north corner of the proposed garage, and to section 153.020B6 to consider encroachment of 10 inches into the 5-foot side yard setback located at CB 5941 Block 5, Lot 51, otherwise known as 4807 Gibbs Sprawl Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Councilmember Lehman.
Well, I'd like to ask a question, and I never have actually got an answer for it.
Who are you asking?
Well, I've asked the city manager once.
Okay.
We've passed this bond election on redoing Gibbs Sprawl and Ackerman Road. There's supposed to be a 4-foot sidewalk on that side of the street. If we put a 4-foot sidewalk, where's that going to bring this property, this thing up to? It's going to be right on the dead-gum edge of the street.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to deny this request. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Council Member Pierce?
No.
Council Member Grant?
Yes.
Council Member Lehman?
Yes.
Council Member Wilson?
Yes.
Council Member Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 9D, discussion and possible action on a request for a variance from the City Noise Ordinance Section 94.17G, Acts Creating Unlawful Noises, to waive the 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Construction hours to starting at approximately 3 a.m. to allow for early morning concrete pours at Kirby Middle School construction site located at CB 4018B, Lot 50, EXC, SWIRR 11583 feet of 50 or ARB 50A, otherwise known as 5441 Old Seguin Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. An application requesting the variance has been given to us, and I believe you are the representative of Bartlett Cox. Okay, please come forward.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Aaron DiFilippo. I'm with Bartlett Cox General Contractors. I'm the project manager for the Kirby Middle School project. Basically just wanted to ask for the variance for when we start pouring concrete for the foundations for the new academic building, the new gymnasium, and then in 2019 the new CTE building. We ask that we start early, 3 a.m. in the morning, so that we can first of all get concrete. It has a greater availability, and also so that our guys aren't pouring concrete in the heat of the day, and also the concrete trucks aren't fighting traffic to get from the concrete plants to the job site, especially on a school campus. Since school started this week, we've noticed the amount of traffic and bus traffic, parent traffic, and things of that nature entering and exiting the school campus. Allowing us to start at 3 a.m. Will really, cut down on any disturbance to that school traffic. So, you got any questions? Just please let me know.
And it's also supposed to allow the concrete to cure, so that
yes, ma'am. We have there's a certain amount of time that the concrete can be in the truck, and if there's of course, if the hotter it is, that time goes down, and the more traffic there is.
What's the time frame that you are expecting for the job to last? Like, how long that this piece of the construction will take place?
So we're going to have we're going to have multiple concrete pours over multiple days. They're not going to be subsequent days. The structural engineer on the project has put us a limit of pouring 10 to 12,000 square foot a pour. Currently, the academic building is two stories, so it's about 40,000 square feet. The gymnasium is 30,000 square feet, one level. So we're going to have multiple pours on each on each level. Just doing just some averages. Well, for the academic building, we'll have minimum of three pours. The first level is about 19,000 square feet, so we'll have three pours there, three pours on the second level. For the gymnasium, we'll have three pours. It's about 30,000 square feet, so for the first level, and then the gymnasium has concrete columns that we're going to need to pour after the foundation is laid, and that's going to be another couple of pours. So it's going to be stretched out. We're looking to start concrete beginning of October with the first pour, and for the academic building and the gymnasium, those two buildings, we're looking to complete the foundations by the end of November. The CTE building is not scheduled to start until that time next year, 2019, so October of 2019, and that one should be just a couple of pours, so about a month for that one to complete.
So with the construction, do you think that before y'all poured that there would be time where you could at least let our public, our superintendent, public works superintendent, just know
about
that time when it's going to happen? That way our city staff knows as well. So then in the event that there is extra traffic and people calling, then they can at least properly explain what's going on.
Yes, ma'am. We can certainly give notice for when we're going to have a concrete pour. So.
And when you're pouring at 3 in the morning, that means you're going to have the big light zone too, right?
Yes, ma'am. We'll have lights. The lights will be facing in towards the towards the pour area, so there's not going to be any lights facing out towards streets.
3 o'clock in the morning, I would hate to have bright lights into my bedroom window.
Sure.
Well, this is toward the back of the school property, right?
Coming in off of 78, correct.
Actually, these two are off of Old Seguin.
Yeah, two of them. The first two.
The first two are off Old Seguin.
You're going to use a telescope on the your second story?
We'll use a pump truck, yes, sir.
Okay, that's not that noisy. Really and truly, it's just the traffic that you're going to deal with.
I was just
with
more worried about the lights.
Yeah, the lights are bright, but they're pretty directional. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So we take pretty good care not to shine it into any houses or of course, hopefully no businesses are working at 3 in the morning. But we do take care of not disturbing any residences. Yes, ma'am.
Chief, do you see any issue?
Looking at the area, there's going to be some exposure to residential, mostly off the peppermint and both ends of the line. But I think it's going to be minimal if it were somewhere else in the city where it's more heavily residentially built up. I would expect that we'll get some complaints, but not so many that we should be able to handle it if they speak with those residents. Let them know that this is not going to be an everyday over the course of the year.
Well, the main thing is this is a direct benefit to our kids and kids to come. It's a direct benefit to our students and students for many, many years. And as Mr. Listicum can tell you, these repairs are sorely, sorely needed. I mean, you can see cracks through the walls. So it's one of those things that for a short amount of time, we may have a little bit of inconvenience. But once it's done, we've got a much better building and a much better facility for our kids.
More questions, I will entertain a motion for this variance.
Mayor, I would like to make a motion. We grant the variance for the duration of the job.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to authorize and allow the variance request from the City Noise Ordinance Section 94.17 Acts Creating Unlawful Noises to waive the 7 a.m. and 6 to 6 p.m. construction hours to starting at approximately 3 a.m. to allow for early morning concrete pours at Kirby Middle School construction site located at 5441 Old Seguin Road. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant? Oh, yes.
Yes.
Councilmember
Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldrin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
Thank you very much for attending.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all very much. Have a good evening.
Item 9E, update, discussion, and possible action on Republic Services garbage carts and recycling. Donna, Tom, I'm going to slide you aside and let Ms. Dryad talk. And then we will put you on.
Okay.
I'm going to call you out on a couple things. Don't be afraid.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I'll be outside.
I want to. She's pretty thorough.
Good evening, Mayor Pierce, members of the council, city administration. I'd like to take just a few moments to speak about the availability of glass recycling here in Kirby. When I moved into Kirby last May in 2017, I was given a recycling calendar with my welcome packet when I had my water and sewer service turned on. This calendar lists acceptable recyclable materials, and in this list it included glass, and in parentheses, clear or colored is acceptable, no ceramic. This seemed very normal to me. Glass was recyclable in my previous city, so I continuously put glass in my recycle bin to be collected every other week. For 2018, I did not receive a new calendar. I also did not specifically request one, and I continued to recycle glass along with other recyclable materials. In the spring of this year, conversation came up with a few people in town about what items were actually able to be recycled. The question came up about glass, and it was mentioned that glass is not recyclable, although some of the signage on the toters say that it is. A few people have asked council about this, and I myself requested a copy of our city's contract with Republic through the Freedom of Information Act to verify whether it stated that glass was recyclable or not. The contract lists recyclable materials, and glass is not included. At the May 24th, 2018 council meeting, Mr. Tom Armstrong represented Republic Services and was asked specifically by Mayor Pierce whether glass was recyclable. He said that glass recycling was not available in Kirby, and explained that the reason for this was that the cost to transport the materials to the center, I believe he said it was in Dallas, was too expensive. And when he was asked why some of our toters and calendars included glass in the recyclable list, he said that it was simply an oversight by someone at the Republic office that provided us with incorrect documents. Mr. Armstrong has said that because the cost was exorbitant, glass recycling was not included in the contract pricing when the contract was last signed in 2017. Councilman Grant asked specifically what the cost would be, and Mr. Armstrong stated that it would be 50 cents to a dollar per person per month. I took that to mean per household per month. I apologize. I do not think that 50 cents or a dollar per month is an exorbitant amount. Even if that cost were per pickup and not per month, that would still be approximately $2 per month per household. I understand that there are different levels of household income with our residents, and not everybody is as worried about its recycling as some others may be, but to exclude a service that is available in almost every major area of the country for $2 a month per household, I think is insane. It seems as though Republic was looking for a reason not to offer this service at the time, and they didn't think that anybody would question it. Glass is not something that should go into a landfill. The New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services has found that it takes ground glass approximately 1 million years to decompose. Glass is formed out of silica, but once it's heat treated and formed into the glass, it doesn't break down back into the sand that it once was. It doesn't belong in the ground. Even our Federal Environmental Protection Agency website has no information on disposal of glass. It recommends recycling glass. Glass recycling is not a new thing in this country or in the state of Texas. I would ask that council request a proposal for specific charges from Republic to add glass recycling to our services as soon as possible. And if it turns out that we are not going to offer glass recycling in the future, to ask Republic to replace or
Brand.
Brand, thank you. the toters and the lists that are available so that everybody is aware that glass may not be recyclable in the future. Thank you.
That was thorough.
Good job, Donna.
Now you're up. Now you heard.
How come I don't get to go first? Good evening, Council, staff, and Mayor. I like how you move the podium to point towards the more pleasant to look at females than this and this side of it. But
I brushed my teeth.
Not sure whose idea that was, but I applaud the decision. I'd love the opportunity to take some time and meet with her and have a discussion. Very short response is glass is 100% recyclable. The problem is there are not glass recycling facilities anywhere near us. If there were, I would take it all day long. I'm not opposed to recycling glass at all. Where the issue comes up is that there's no end user for glass nearby. Glass is very, very heavy when you have to transport it in large amounts, and we have to transport it up to the DFW area, at which point it becomes pretty expensive. So I had mentioned that we can entertain some pricing. I do have some other items that I would like to speak about. They're just options. Maybe I can get a meeting with Monique and speak about some of those things, and just a very general overview of what I would like to talk about is, I don't know if you guys have read or seen stories on the news about the state of the recycling industry in the United States and really the world right now, but it is really, really in a shambles. We think it's going to be a short-term issue that will correct itself. In general, what's happened is China has, for years, been the largest consumer of recyclables in the world, and also true in the United States. So nationwide, 45% of all recyclables that come in go across the Pacific Ocean to China to feed their manufacturing machine. So the problem is China was not very picky about what they got over there. They would just take what they got, sort through it, whatever they can get and use, they would use. Anything that was not recyclable or they couldn't use in their process, they would throw to the side, and they end up with huge, huge amounts of what we call residue or residual waste, which is not recyclable. I think it's applaudable that China has now come out and said, we're going to clean up our country, we're going to put forth some regulations to protect our environment, and this is one of the things that they did. We're not going to take recycling loads that aren't pure recyclables. And so what they did, unfortunately, is they went from a 3% contamination threshold to 0.5% as being allowable, which no one in the industry currently is able to do. So why I said I think it's temporary, it will take some time for some of these recycling centers to kind of retool their machinery to be able to filter out more of the contamination and decrease the amount of residual in the waste. So what I would like to speak to the city manager about, and anybody else that would like to meet with me, we do have an issue with that we would like to address with the city. I have a proposal that I would like to offer to you, and with that proposal, if offered, I would add glass into the recycling stream. So hopefully we'll be able to set a meeting and get something going forward on that. Also, is there any questions about that? I was going to go into the recycling flyer. Okay. To back up just a little bit, we had an issue in the city with carts being broken, mainly lids popping off, wheels popping off, and bodies getting crushed. And when our operation folks came out here to kind of find out what was happening, what they learned was that the trucks were having to get the carts from an odd angle because carts were, some were up on curbs, some were behind cars. Anyway, we had an issue where our truck wasn't able to just pull up to the cart, grab it, and dump it. They were going at strange angles. Those arms will reach out as far as 10 feet, so they can go get something. The problem is when you're getting it at a weird angle, it's got to grab it and pinch it, and that's what pops lids off and wheels and crushes bodies. So in our discussion that we had that evening, I mentioned that it's a kind of an education issue. We would like to have folks consistently put their carts out in the same manner. So the idea came out that we would put together a flyer to communicate some of these things. So I worked with Patty and her team, got their input. And then I put together this flyer that it's still not finalized. It has some issues in it, but it is a rough draft. Patty, did they get copies of it? Okay. So any feedback you guys have on it, I'd love to get it. We still have time to make revisions to it. The phone number for City Hall is incorrect on there. They put the number for the police department, and Patty was fine with all the garbage calls going to the police, but maybe they're not. But anyway, yeah, we'd love any feedback you guys have on that. It basically goes through how to put the cart out, the correct time to put it out, the correct manner to put it on the curb, as well as what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Goes through plastics, metal cans, cardboard, paper containers, and cartons and paper, and then a whole list of items that do not recycle. So if you want to communicate anything that you guys see in there, any corrections, if you can just get them to Patty or get them directly to me, be happy to.
At our previous meeting, sir, you had told us about the arm on the truck going out and grabbing the cans, and it was the issue about, you know, breaking the wheels off, that you're saying that the arm is calibrated to set the can down at street level. So then you had suggested that our residents put their cans in the street and butt the wheels up against the curb. That needs to be on this.
It is on there. It says that it needs to be within 2 feet of the curb. It is.
Well, 2 feet away in some of our streets is in the middle of the street.
And unfortunately,
we can make that less, yeah. Or we can put it up against the curb.
I would ask that when, because there are some of us that are doing it because we shared the information, mm-hmm. So there are some residents that are already doing that. However, if when it goes into, when everybody starts doing it or it catches on, I would like for y'all to monitor that because sometimes those carts don't go back down where they came from, so they do end up in the street. Like in the middle of the street. There was our neighbor, actually, his was on the curb, but when I came home, I actually had to drive around his car because it was actually in the street. So that may be something that, again, if we're not putting them exactly right or too close.
Be happy to coach our drivers on that. On windy days, when those carts are empty, they can move because they have wheels on them and then they don't have all the trash in them, so they're lighter, and the wind can move them some, but that usually doesn't happen a lot. If I had to guess, I would guess
today.
They probably.
There
I'm sorry?
There might have been some straight line winds then today. Just letting you know. Because there was lots of them.
Okay. And Patty, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen very few issues with cart repairs over the last month. There's some, but compared to what we were going through, I think it's much, much better than we were. So I think just getting the message out, the small amount that we did has already had an effect. So this flyer going to all the residents, I think, will have a nice effect.
And I do think that somewhere on a flyer, not necessarily Republic's flyer, but for our own, since we do have the ordinance about the carts being pulled up at a certain time, there are residents that when they do call City Hall to get those replacements, they're concerned about leaving it on the street while they're waiting for repair because they're concerned that code compliance may cite them for the street being, or for the receptacle being down there. So if we can let them know that it is okay, if there's a repair order, that's exactly where they need to get it from anyway.
And if you guys want to take some time, there's no deadline on getting this out, so.
Well, there's a deadline, all right.
I mean, I want it as soon as possible,
yes.
But if you guys need some time to review the document and provide feedback.
Also, once you get this flyer finished, it would be a good time for National Night Out to have.
Exactly.
Have your group there, mm-hmm. and have the flyers and things out where people can see what's going on with it.
Very good idea.
Because they're going to have it in three locations, so you're hitting three areas in the city of Kirby with that. So.
That's coming up October, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good. Anything else?
Yes. October 2nd. Uh-huh. I think it's the
2nd.
I'm
going to
recess and just.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So, Sam Richardson, Beautification Recycle Committee. We worked with Tom, and we was going to have a booth out there with general information and little goodies from him, the flyers, what we can recycle, and stuff like that. So we'll be out there September 1st. I think, is that the fireworks show? So we'll have a table out there. We'll be out there from 5 to 7 o'clock, and we'll be distributing any flyers that Tom have and any goodies that he have, and so the beautification committee will be out there. So if you give us that sheet, we'll pass those out to the residents and stuff like that. So we already had it planned to be out there. So.
But it's in October, correct?
Yes.
Fireworks in the park is September 1st, but October 2nd, yes, sir. October 2nd is what Council Member Wilson was referring to. If you could please make an effort or, you know, to be.
A night out really would be good because there's three separate places that we're going to have. And so we're going to have people come to where Sam is, but also that would give you better coverage. And the better, more information you get out, the better it is.
We'll divide and conquer.
There you go.
Very good.
Is there any further discussion on this item?
Just some water here.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I am going to recess our meeting for about 10 minutes. Take a 10-minute break because we have some items coming up that are going to be discussed. So I will recess at 8:33. Make everybody swim. Reconvene this meeting at 8:46.
That works.
We will go to item 9F, discussion and possible action on nonprofit grant applications. We previously received five applications from five different entities. One of the entities was not actually located in the city of Kirby, so they have withdrawn their application.
All right.
Good.
And so everyone should have received the applications. And Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge had requested this item to be brought back up. There is currently, the proposed budget has $20,000 allocated for this program.
And what it's four left now, correct?
It's five?
There's
four.
There's
four fingers holding up.
Well, you got a thumb there, too, and I didn't know if you were counting that.
That's not a finger. It's a thumb.
All right. Well, see, you sit there. Never mind.
We did have five originally, but one of the
That's what I thought.
DT2 Foundation withdrew their application.
So we're just going to divide by four?
That's what y'all and us are going to decide
there you
what
go.
We want to do if we're going to act on it at all.
Do I have to remember all the names?
No, Mike. We're good. We got that under control.
Okay, then, Mayor, I make a motion we divide by four and grant those four.
How much?
Divided by four.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to divide the $20,000 allocated between the four evenly, so that's $5,000
each.
Each entity.
Yes, ma'am.
Discussion.
Yeah, I just said we were sitting up here, we're sitting up here and we were squeezing the budget and trying to be fiscally responsible with fire, public works, PD, and everything else. And here we're just going to take tax money and boop, there we go, there's four, and divide it out. I mean, I personally, my feelings, I wouldn't do it. I'd wait till next year and see. Especially with how our budget, again, what I stated about having to squeeze everything we can, and here we're just going to throw out $20,000. So.
Well, I think that it benefits. I agree with what you're saying, but I also think that what this does is benefits our city, and everybody else gets to see something from our city to help them.
Besides Public Works, Fire Department, PD.
I'm not going there.
Yeah.
Until the budget time comes.
All right, so on the application, so I do want to, because there's representatives from, there's two.
Yeah, Norma's back
there. Oh, there she is. I was like, where did she go? So Norma and then 4-H. Okay, and then
Herman's Sons is Brandy.
Sons.
And Little League have
and
a meeting.
Little League, yes, and he was actually here too.
Do you know whether they had
evaluations? Correct. And he was here when we did it the first time, and he explained what his intent was with the money. So Kirby Senior Center. Roger Romans was here and said he didn't have anything specific, that it was for operational expenses the last time that we had this. I just wanted everybody to, that one was the one that was gone. Greater Northeast Building, they laid out what they had already done to the fields. And their future projects included replacing backstops, T-ball, and majors fields, adding sprinklers to the T-ball and softball fields, adding lights to the T-ball field, add retaining wall between the T-ball and majors, repair the scoreboard on the softball field, build batting cages, build score announcer's booth, and replace an ice machine. Kirby 4-H. They were asking for assistance with the farm upkeep, uniforms, bleachers, and scholarships, and also the meeting rental fees so that they could host current monthly 4-H meetings. And Herman Sons was requesting ballet. They would like to use it for purchase of ballet bars, new tumbling mats, and uniforms. I just wanted everybody to do that. Would anybody that's here representing, would anybody like to speak? If you don't have to, I just wanted to at least give you the floor and opportunity if you wanted to. And if you could just please state your name and.
I'm Jennifer Wolf. I'm representing 34H on the club agenda. And I'm not very good at speaking in public, but we are a nonprofit organization. And unfortunately, there's people, even here in the city office and stuff, that don't even know we exist. So this would also give us an opportunity to maybe get our name out there, get more kids in, maybe we can help assist some of these kids, because the majority of our kids that raise, they raise animals. We have goats, we have pigs, we have chickens, we have rabbits, and they're all right there next to the elementary school, and people don't know that. So maybe we can try to get more kids in. And yes, our community is not a very rich community, and with the extensions of these projects, we can invite a few kids in, and maybe we can assist them with some of the costs.
What is the, let's just say pig, what is the typical cost for a child?
The average cost of a pig for the year, which usually starts September and February, March, somewhere around there, just varies. You're looking at about $2,000, give or take. So, I mean,
depends on what
that's
you pay for.
Out of a lot of people's pocket.
Right.
So, I mean, yes, there's other projects that are a little bit cheaper, but they're just as costly.
Right. I just went with pigs just because that's when there's rodeo, I mean, the kids are, you know, doing that. So that's the only reason I use that.
But after that, you have other projects going from December. You have county, you have San Antonio, you go to Houston with these kids. And so you're teaching them other parliamentary things and in classes. So you're teaching them how to be a better citizen, right?
Right.
And there's also baking and
photography and crafts and, yeah.
Regarding 4-H?
No. Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to bring
them up? Brandy's not going to get up.
Norma, on yours, can you tell us what project you'd be using your money on?
Cool. And coming in just to read a book to stay cool. So our electric bill has gone
So when you said for the air conditioning, are you talking about replacing the air conditioning or your electric bill?
The air conditioning.
Okay.
And the refrigerator, because Roger had mentioned refrigerator.
The cooler was just fixed. We have a really nice person. I think it's Ron. He's here in Kirby. He really is a big help to the center. He really supports it. Really says, you know, if you don't need any unit, I will continue to just put whatever parts I can find. So he really does support the center. He just keep us from trying to go around to get a brand new one. But sooner or later,
can you tell us a little bit about Hermansen? Sorry, I know you said you don't want to talk, but we're sitting here talking about organizations that the city has, and Hermansen's, I mean, that's one of the ones that as well is under talked about as well.
Hermansen's has been in Kirby. I really can't tell you how long. My daughter stands with Kirby and talks with Hermansen's, and she's 24 years old. Here probably another 30, 40, 50 years. It's a great organization. We do have a dance school that not many people know about. It's very, very reasonably priced. Most girls have to pay about $50 to dance, where at, you know, normal dance class, it's $80 a session. That would be ballet, tap, jazz, whatever you want to take. Those kids would have to pay $80 each session, or they can come to us and they can dance and they can pay $50 and that's it. We try to fundraise for their costumes. You know, if the parents want to fundraise, we allow them to fundraise to try to pay for their costumes. We try to do lots of volunteering. You know, we do all y'all's hobo days, all that kind of stuff. It's a great little organization. Once again, not very many people in Kirby know we even exist. We dance in the lodge. Literally, the old lodge, the girls dance on that floor, and that's what we do.
Where's that lodge at? See, people don't realize that we actually have it here.
Even just not the dance, just the lodge itself. They do a lot of, you know, community service, that kind of stuff. And a lot of people don't know about Hermansen's at all. You know, it's okay for, like, Hermansen's to do, but when it comes to dance, we can't, because we have children, and you can't put them out there, and you can't let people know what day to dance, and we can't do any of that stuff because of security. So it's real hard to even get our kids out there and let the kids come dance. But it is a great deal. I mean, the girls love it. Boys love it. We've had a few boys. We've had probably 10 boys in my 20-something years with them. So we have a recital every year at Kirby Middle School. You know, not every And a lot of them, I mean, most of them are from this area. Kirby, Converse, Wood Lake, Park Village. So,
thank you.
Well, Mayor, if I make a couple of comments. I understand Councilman Pierce's point. And, you know, it's hard to take things away and not fund certain things. But this money is an investment in three places in our youth. And the return on the investment is the kids. And, you know, I mean, I coached Little League out here forever, Pop Warner football forever. My wife used to kill me for how many kids I've paid for in my own pocket. So, you know, it's hard to take away a truck. It's hard to take away 5,000 feet of fire hose, whatever it is. But again, you got to give to get. And if we want to continue our community to grow and retain and not just graduate high school and move away, we've got to treat these kids just like we do our employees and make them want to stay. And if I might just say this real quick, how many of y'all familiar with the retirement home for the Herman Sons in Comfort? Okay. If you will go and you will look at the 1916 cornerstone, you're going to see Ricka Huntress. That's my great-grandmother. She was the first secretary for the Herman Sons when they started here in 1914. And the Huntress family at one time, one uncle was county clerk for 32 years. That was Fred Huntress. Another Huntress, George Huntress, was chief deputy. That's how I got into law enforcement under two sheriffs here. So I've got a connection to the Herman Sons that I go way back. And all of these Little League, Herman Sons, Senior Center. The Senior Center is the end result. The start of the road is the other three. The end of the road is the Senior Center. And I think a lot of our people out here deserve to have that time, to have that meal, and to have that coolness in this 100-degree weather. So I understand, and I commiserate with Constable Pierce, but I don't feel bad about putting this money out there for the kids and our older folks.
I never stated that.
Oh, no, no, I know.
Because I thought when Debbie first brought this up about taking this and doing this was a great idea.
Okay.
And it is. And
oh, no, I just agree with your point. I see what you're saying.
4-H, have ties, all that. I think it's a wonderful thing. I'm just saying we weren't doing it before until Debbie brought it up. We all wanted to do this. I'm all for everything that needs to be done with this. I'm just saying we need to also recognize of what's happening in here now.
Yeah. No, it's
like I said, I have nothing against this. Debbie, it was a wonderful idea. It's an awesome idea because of who we're going to give back money to, going back into what you say. So like I said, I'm not against this. I just want to make sure we're looking at both sides of everything that's going on here to make a educated judgment on what we're doing. Yeah. That's all.
Well, it's hard to do both ways. It's tough either way.
Anybody else have discussion? All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to use the $20,000 evenly between the four entities that have put in application, and I will read those for the record. It will be the Kirby Senior Center, Greater Northeast Little League, Kirby 4-H, and Kirby Herman Sons. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So as far as that, our city manager will provide next steps once that budget has passed, because the budget has not passed yet. So we're still working on that. So it's still a working document. So after we have all of the additional information and the subsequent public hearings and those things on the budget, then if the final result is that, then our city manager will reach out to those entities and provide further instruction. Thank you for attending tonight. I know it's a late night, so thank you for the input and the information. All right. Item 9G. Discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. The Beautification Recycle Committee has been working on fumes. We just added one, so Donna Dreya, who was just appointed at the last meeting, and we have another applicant. I don't know if Celicia's here. I don't see her. I can tell you, though, Ms. Garza is extremely recycle a proponent of it. I get emails frequently about certain things in the city. So as far as the beautification recycling, it's something that she has from day one, from asking about styrofoam at businesses, using styrofoam to having recycling, glass recycling, because actually, in all reality, in addition to the questions I had, she actually had specifically asked why we don't recycle glass. So that's really how all of that started as well. So, like I said, I don't personally know her. I just have had several correspondences with her over email and Facebook in the messages. So her application is enclosed. So this would be to the beautification. And I believe if this one, this would actually complete their committee, and it hasn't been complete for, I don't know, some time.
Ever.
Alice and Barbara and Sam were kind of just holding together. And they had a, they did have just recently, every first Saturday, they do have a street where they actually have a street cleanup. And there's usually two of them, Alice and Barbara. So I think any help that we can get the committee is warranted. And there's, this is the only application we've received, so, right?
Take the body.
Make a motion.
I make a motion we accept this lady.
Second. Which one seconded?
Layman.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Layman, to appoint Celicia Garza to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember
Layman? Yes.
Councilmember
Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Avadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem
Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. If you can reach out and let Ms. Garza know that and the times that they're meeting. Item 9H, discussion and possible action on accepting Patricia Baber's resignation from the Parks and Rec Committee, effective immediately. Ms. Baber's resignation is attached, so I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the resignation of Patricia Baber from the Parks and Rec Committee, effective immediately.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Aldridge, Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson to accept Patricia Baber's resignation from Parks and Rec, effective immediately. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, I am going, sorry, Patty, I'm going to deviate from the agenda. I apologize. I am going to go to item 9N, discussion and possible action to reappoint members to the Planning and Zoning Commission with terms that expire August 2018. Patty, or
do they all want to stay?
No. There's one no, and then one is...
I'm captured. No.
Good night. Thank you.
Two that are interested in being reappointed as Sarah Richardson and Lola Martinez. So that would be through August 2020.
But Sam's leaving.
But Sam will be moving.
Right. So he's willing to... reappointed until we find a replacement for him.
Really?
He's already recruited.
Yes, of course he is.
Okay, here's the deal. You can't go and you can't move till you find somebody. That's how it works.
So we, I will entertain a motion to reappoint members to the Planning and Zoning Commission with terms that expire
2020.
August 2020?
Yep.
And those individuals would be Mr. Sam Richardson and Mr. Raul Martinez.
What about Janice Russell?
She doesn't want to.
Okay.
Well, I make a motion we accept those two. Get away.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Oh, God.
seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to reappoint members Sam Richardson and Raul Martinez to the Planning and Zoning Commission with terms that will expire August 2020. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, we will now go back up to 9I. Update, discussion, and possible action on the Kirby Bear Animal Facility operations. I had asked for this item to come back on the agenda. We had a presentation at the last council meeting by Mr. Andy Winters of Bear County. I believe that we all, or several of us, had concerns regarding that. I would like to let our city manager just fill us in on a little bit of the conversations that you've had.
So on Tuesday of this week, Chief Boyce and I had a conference call with Renee Gray, who's the county engineer and public works director in Bear County. So she oversees the Environmental Services Department, which has the care facility under. And first item that we discussed was the fact that in the agreement it says that any capital improvements or major improvements to the building would be handled by Bear County. Kirby's responsible for some minor repairs. So she did say they would go ahead and pay for the entire cost of the fencing for that portion of the building. So that part was resolved. The other thing that we discussed was the proposed new positions. If you recall, they were proposing positions. One was an animal placement specialist that they were recommending, and then I actually, because of some of the overtime that we've had with the kennel technician, had asked them about considering a kennel technician position. So we have three right now. That would give us four. And so she did say they pushed both of those items through. They have a final budget workshop on Friday, and they'll approve their budget September the 11th, but that those items have been approved on staff level. I did share with her that in our current proposed budget, neither of those positions were in there, and so it would depend, of course, if council approved those in our budget as to whether or not we would fund them. So there was discussion about how would that work. The placement specialist is prepared to hire that position either way. So that's something to consider would be a county employee. Another thing that we hadn't discussed just yet, but just looking at some of the staffing issues, we have currently one animal control officer for Kirby. And out of the three kennel technicians, one of them is also a certified
Commission meeting where the mayor and I with Renee Green to talk about maybe some items in the interlocal agreement, because it does say we would look at it on an annual basis and propose some amendments so we can go in and discuss, you know, any of council's concerns then and bring back some proposed changes to the amendment that you all would have to approve and the commission would also have to approve.
And with that, that was a discussion also that our city manager and I had as far as the check-in sheet or the login sheet. So there is a login sheet at dispatch, and it is kept up with, so they do go out, they do have to check out a key. However, there's not an authorization list of who are those people. So I had asked that between our staff and county staff that they have an authorization list so that our dispatchers are not making that decision of who is and who isn't, or the awkwardness of telling someone, no, you can't go. Our dispatchers get put in a lot of positions, unfortunately, because they're the first contact that they shouldn't have to be put in. So I would like to at least alleviate that. And again, there cannot be anyone added to that list without the approval of our city manager and without our chief of police knowing and agreeing to those, so that there is specific instruction given to the dispatcher that, yes, this is an authorized person to be added to that list. That way, no matter who goes in or out, I know that dispatch will be, a short staff, so there will be people training, hopefully. So that way there's no question of, well, I didn't know that or I didn't hear that. It'll be very black and white for that piece of it. We had, Monique and I had also had a conversation regarding, we're talking about this contract, and I've often said it's not a big secret, even at the last meeting I said that the way that our contract was written, I think that it's a little sided as far as, and I don't think it was the original vision. However, that's neither here nor there. We have what it is now. And there are a lot of stipulations that the county provides this, the city provides this. So all of the items that we are wanting to see more of, in all reality, it actually says that the city is the one who supplies those. So I'll just read. It talks about the city shall... Daily operations include but not limited to daily food, water, sanitation, medical care, vacs, examinations, record keeping, etc. Well, all of the things that it says that the city shall provide is actually done by a county employee, which happens to be the kennel manager. So the kennel techs are under the umbrella of the city, and the kennel techs report to the kennel manager. So the position that they're asking for, which is the placement
specialist,
it would be almost like a position. I don't. We were given that list of duties, which is almost like an assistant kennel manager.
Pretty much.
So that person would, the way that this is proposed, is also a county representative. So, again, the city portion of the contract, or excuse me, the ILA, states that the city will be conducting the adoption activities, events. The city is the transfer of animals to third-party shelters, other facilities as needed, the spay-neuter surgeries as necessary, humane euthanasia of animals as deemed necessary by qualified veterans, disposal of animals, etc. So... those are all things that are actually written for the city, but like I said, the way that our employees are set up is that person that's supposed to do all of these is actually a county employee in the form of the kennel manager. So I think that there's some, when we go have those conversations, I think that there's room for discussion on this to see how we can better better utilize our own staff as well, you know, to handle some of these. The chief of police and I were talking. We haven't had an adoption event in a very long time. Even when prior to the agreement between the county and the city, we actually did have quite a few adoption events. We had, you know, both previous ACO managers, both of them had, and they were short-staffed too, but they had a lot of adoption events. So I would like to see those come back. As far as we have this big area right in front of the shelter, so there's no reason that we can't utilize that space. I think that we're established enough now where people can find us. I believe that there's enough communication that we can, as a group as well, bring people. I did want to reiterate that I am not opposed to the transport of animals. I do know that last council meeting I was, you know, talking about transport, but I absolutely believe that transport is a necessity. I just don't believe that it should be our only option. Right. When we have potential adopters sitting right in our city that want to give a dog a home, I don't believe that they should be turned away if they, you know, if they pass the application just to be turned away because they are told that this animal is already on transport. So that's the issue that I have with transport, but I absolutely believe that transport is a necessity. It's being done all across Texas because other parts of the, like we've stated before, other parts of the country don't have the population of animals that we have. They actually have more adopters than they do pets. So that's something, though, that I think as a group, Councilmember Grant is our liaison, and he will also be in attendance with that meeting between with Renee Green, myself, and the city manager. So he has some information that he would like to share at that meeting. But I honestly believe whether or not, when we get to the budget, whether or not we choose to put a placement specialist, I absolutely believe that we really need to consider the kennel tech. Those guys, and I'm saying guys because it is the guys, and actually our ACO, Ashley, she actually cleans kennels when necessary, so she's out there too. But it is a big job. I've been there, and I've actually helped with my son as well. So I know what, I know the job that's at hand, and it we could really benefit from an extra kennel tech. So when we get to the budget part, I'd like y'all to consider that with that piece. The other thing is that there is now a sign-in. So after our council meeting that last Thursday, or the Thursday before, there was a meeting, and so now when you on the weekends there is a table set out, and it has the actual logo. It's a table with the cloth over it that actually says Kirby Bear Animal Facility. It has applications for adoption, applications for volunteers, and a sign-in book. So if you enter into the kennel area, there is a sign-in book, and it asks, you know, really just a basic question why you're there. You know, like, are you looking for your animal to try to reclaim your animal, looking, you want to volunteer, et cetera. I still maintain the fact that I believe that we need very specific duties as far as whether or not our kennel staff or whether our staff in general can adopt out an animal. Even though we've had questions and it's been directly asked, it's still kind of up in the air. It was mentioned that our kennel techs are able to do that, but they just don't have time. Well, I believe that if there is somebody there wanting to adopt an animal, I believe that our kennel techs could absolutely make time to be able to assist a potential adopter and process the paperwork and do what's necessary in order to have an adoption from our shelter. So I'm hoping that we can, everybody here, can, if you've thought about it, even if you're not saying anything this evening, if you can please send your information to Monique, any questions that you might have, so that when we have that meeting with Ms. Green, that we can have a very focused and productive meeting so that we don't have a lot of the same questions not answered or just the same rhetoric and, you know, we're just beating a dead horse. So, like I said, I still believe that our contract still needs to be looked at, and I still think it's kind of flip-flop, because if the city is responsible for all of those things, but the kennel manager is actually a county employee, then it's kind of counterproductive in my opinion, because we're looking for these things, but in all reality, it's saying we're supposed to do them. But our staff is an ACO and kennel techs. So I think that at that point, there has to be some way that we can fulfill all of these events and fulfill all of these things that are set forth, but also utilize our personnel as well. Because right now, our personnel are really very rarely seen. They're in the kennels, and you don't see them except for maybe Ashley, our ACO, when she's in the, you know, in the community getting an animal. And that's the other thing, too, because it is so full. She, as well as dispatch, is having to deal with a lot of, I can't pick up that animal.
Yep.
So when we get into the ordinances, I have, you know, that I have thoughts about that too when we get to that section. So I just would really like everybody to reread the ILA between us and county. If you don't have it, please get with, or just please send Monique an email and she can forward it. And just read it and see if, you know, if there's anything that you think needs added or questions that we don't know, so that we can specifically ask those, so that we're in that meeting that Council Member Grant, myself, and Monique can really find those answers so that we can make this a success. Like I said the last council meeting, it's a vision that I don't believe in, so it's very hard for me to the way that it sits now. I'm very passionate about our animal welfare and those kinds of things, especially this. I was really excited when this, you know, came to about. So I'm not giving up on it at by any means. It's just, I just think that we need to tweak some things, and I think it's going to take everybody here. If you have if comments from our community, please bring those forth to Monique so that we can pass on those as well.
Well, I'm just looking forward to a meeting to where we can, I guess, you know, come to a better agreement as to who does what, and that we understand that, you know, it's we put together a cohesive team down there. Right now, we seem to have a little bit of a division in things, and not to get into real deep, but I just think that people need to understand what their duties are and go with that. Thank you.
Great. Anybody else have any?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. All right. Please email Monique your concern. All right. Item 9J, discussion and possible action. Actually, let me... This is the animal shelter. I'm going to retract 9J. We will go to item 9K, discussion and possible action on amendments to ordinance number 0-2017-828 and ordinance repealing Chapter 71, stopping, standing, and parking, and adopting a new Chapter 71, stopping, standing, and parking ordinance. That was brought by Council Member Grant regarding the parking on Ben Zingelman and Charles Conrad. Who wants to take that? Chief Boyce.
Okay. In response to the request, I did check and drive up and down the lane to Charles Conrad, and Councilman Grant is correct that on the east side of that street, all the way from Gordon Cooper, all the way north to Old Ski Road, there are no houses that front Charles Conrad. All of those houses are on a cross street, whether it be one of the cul-de-sacs or Cinderella. The only exception to that is the church that occupies the space at the corner of Charles Conrad and Old Seguin Road. Their frontage is on the Charles Conrad. Based on that, I don't see any reason why we would recommend that we go all the way down to, just for consistency, we go all the way down to Gordon Cooper, work north along the east side of Charles Conrad, all the way to a point where we reach the property of the church, and then stop it there and still allow parking on that side of the street for the church worshipers.
And I brought this forward because I, good Lord, I suddenly can't speak, and I'm so sorry. If vehicles park adjacent to a car that's on the west side, you, even in a pickup truck, which I have a small pickup, you still got to let one or fourth. And what my point is, three of those streets are one are dead ends. If emergency vehicles have to travel, a fire truck or the EMS, they would be coming northbound. And if there are vehicles here, they probably couldn't get through and would have to back up. And that's the last thing I want to see, is someone not getting that service that we brag about and that we do perform within less than 5 minutes. I can't see backing up a fire truck, and I can't see backing up an ambulance. And I don't think that this would inconvenience anyone. And we're going to take the church and their parking into consideration. And that's exactly why I brought it, for the service of our citizens.
I also think that the church has all that property. They could come up off of Sahini.
Either way, yes.
Park any other time.
Yeah. But the main thing concerning is I just can't see someone not getting what they need when they need it.
Just for full disclosure, if you go up to Old Sahini Road and turn to the right, like you're heading eastbound or toward the middle school, that portion of Old Sahini Road is no parking. Now, however, they have made a makeshift gate in their fencing a little bit closer to the Dollar General parking lot, where they have used that for entrance. The only concern that I have with that is there's no actual approach, there's no driveway there, and what they're doing is they're moving cars across the sidewalk. There's a little drainage ditch,
yes.
There's a little channel right there. They're going up over the sidewalk into the property. And that sidewalk is already in a relatively bad shape. Continuing to allow vehicles to drive over may cause a problem in the future. But just off of the Charles Conrad entrance, they can go in, and there should be ample parking.
Is that paved parking that they're parking in?
They have a large paved parking lot, but they have a much larger grass and field. That is a continual issue.
As the motion, I mean, can we make a motion for y'all to go back with that to look at?
Let's just add those streets and go back
and then bring it back to.
Please.
We would be putting restriction A.
Thank you.
Is that all the streets that anybody's concerned about? And I only say that because. That's okay. This is the whole ordinance, so I know yours was specifically that street, but while they're in it, if there's another street that's of concern.
Well, there's two more that, if we could, that I would like to get with the chief on, that are, what I'm looking at is streets that go from Old Seguin Road all the way through, that are through streets that would normally an emergency vehicle would travel. Okay?
Sure.
Yes. Correct. Right.
The same way where there is no residential frontage to the east side.
Correct.
Of the street. So it's the same setup for all of those streets. There is some frontage road on the very south end, I mean, all the way down to Crest and Wheatland. There's about three houses that do have a frontage on the Crest, but from that point all the way up to Happiness.
All the way north. May I make the suggestion that if the chief doesn't mind, because that's the ones I looked at, go ahead and make a complete list, and let's put it all on one deal.
Of the ones that don't have the frontage?
Yes, ma'am. Can we do that?
I still have that list. That was something I did when we initially did this ordinance, when we were addressing no parking.
And the good thing is I'd rather be proactive than have to come back and be reactive.
So if we can, so we'll look at all those streets. So then that way, Monique, is when you all have that prepared, and then just bring it back.
Again, thank you, Chief.
Thank you. All right, is there anything else on that item?
Go ahead.
All right. All right, so let me go back. Item 9L, discussion and possible action on amendments to ordinance number 2014-748, an ordinance regulating sign in the city of Kirby, Texas, and superseding all previous ordinances pertaining to signs and providing penalties for violation thereof.
So I know that there were two things that we determined needed to be added. So one, under the definitions, section 3, item B talks about the administrator, and so I would like to suggest we change that to the city manager or designee, because really the code enforcement officer is the person designated to enforce these, or any other officer. So I think that really is just important. And then we need to add a section that talks about digital signs. When Mr. Jose Garcia came and presented his proposed project, that was one of the things TxDOT mentioned when we were reviewing his requests. About what are the city's digital sign requirements. If you don't have anything, you have illuminated signs, other signs that live, but not specifically digital.
Well, we have to do anything as far as the monument, that monument sign that's... I'm only asking because, I mean, I know we have one that's basically on Ackerman in front of the school, but I didn't know since TxDOT would...
Yeah,
this conversation was TxDOT.
I mean, if we wanted to, we could add a section that defines what a gateway monument sign is, use the same definition that TxDOT has for it.
And I only asked because I think that that was even a question whether or not it fell in a gateway monument. Is there any other suggestions to that? Since it's still a working document, and since there's things, if after tonight there's items in here that y'all think about, please forward them to Monique, and then that way when it comes back, it can be a complete list there as well. All right, we're going to go back to item 9. Excuse me, is there any further discussion on that? Sorry. All right, we'll go back to item 9J, discussion and possible action on amendments to ordinance number 0-2013-731, an ordinance repealing existing Chapter 91 of the Code of Ordinances and adopting a new Chapter 91 entitled Animals to set out provisions as to animals, including an animal shelter, animal control officers, licensing, animal bites and animal care, spaying and neutering, rabies control, adoption of animals, fees, enforcement, and related matters, and setting a fine not to exceed the amounts set out in Section 1099 of the Code of Ordinances for each violation. Was everybody able to take a look at the ordinances that, or the ordinance that was given?
Just redefining, basically.
Yeah, and there's... there's actually several things that I was looking at, because there's a lot. Again, this goes back to the staff that we have and to the maintenance and the ability for us to keep up with those pieces of it. So, and on item, I'm sorry, on page 2, we have a lot of stuff that says animal services manager that's in our ordinance. However, technically, we don't have an animal services manager, so that's either going to revert back to our city manager or designee or our chief of police or designee. So I think there's specific things that we may need to look in as far as our wording in those pieces. Just, and I think that, again, this can be a working document, because depending on the other conversations and things that we find out about the facility, we may have to tweak stuff. Also, animal licensing. This says that the assignment by the Kirby Animal Shelter of a number to each animal for which the appropriate fee has been paid and which has been vaccinated with anti-rabies vaccine if required. With that, there's tags that come with rabies vaccinations, etc. However, there are many places who have stopped giving the tags out, and there is a document that is a paper document that actually has all the required information on it and then is certified by a veterinarian. So that is actually the rabies record. So that actually states specifically when the expiration date is, so it's not a document that they're wearing around their neck and, you know, calling a number, finding out if it's actually valid or not. So that's something that I would like to see, because that's also something that makes it that our staff is tasked with when we do rabies vaccinations. We have at large, any dog not under restraint of a person who is capable of control of the animal on or off the premises of the owner. Technically, you can have voice restraint. So somebody may not have a leash, but they may be able to command their animal without a leash. Not that our canine officer would fall under that, but Officer Murphy obviously has canine Jake under a voice command. He doesn't have to be on a leash in order for canine Jake to listen to him, and there are other people in the community that really have animals that would react on voice command. So I think we need to be very specific, since we do have a leash law or a leash ordinance. I believe that that's something that needs to be stipulated, that it really has to have a leash as well. We have the, they're on page 2, there's also the city veterinarian. That says person or persons appointed by the city council. So that was something that I wasn't aware of, honestly. And who are licensed to practice veterinary medicine in the state of Texas. So in all reality, the city veterinarian is appointed by the city council. However, again, with our ILA, with the county, that may or may not be relevant. So I believe those are some of the other things that we need to figure out.
I didn't think it was relevant when he made his presentation. He made it pretty obvious it wasn't.
So, all right.
Just the way it is.
Then again, on page 3, we have the feral cat caregiver. Again, we have the words animal services manager. Then we also have fostering. So I would say everywhere that we actually have animal services manager or Kirby Animal Services, we need to try and tweak those to make it relevant to how we are operating today. The local health authority, the officer designated by the city council under Texas Health and Safety Code. So that's on page 4. I'm not sure if that falls under the one that we have now. So I'm not thinking so, but that may be something we need to also look into. On 5, where it says we have the public nuisance of animals. Any animal or animals that unreasonably annoy humans, endanger the life or health of other animals or persons. Again, that goes back to our at-large population when our ACOs are called or when dispatch is called. There's some wording that we probably need to look into that. On page 5 also, where it says owner, it says a person who feeds, harbors an animal for more than 72 hours without the presence of that animal being recorded in the records of the shelter as a stray animal. Well, I personally, if a stray animal came to me and to my house, it would be very difficult for me not to give that dog or cat food or water. And if we're saying that we're not picking up animals, that animal could be in front of my house for 72 hours or longer. I'm not saying that I own that animal. I'm just saying that I'm being a human being and can't see something, you know, starve or die of thirst. So I think that, and I understand that a lot of these ordinances
come in with common sense, but it's in black and white here that says that basically if you're not if that animal is not registered as a stray, then basically you're the owner. So I think that we just need to look into that piece of it. On page 6, again, there's some other stuff about what the animal does at large, et cetera. The run at large says a dog found to be free of restraint while outside boundaries of the real property of the owner. So, again, free of restraint. It could be voice restraint. There is an option there on page 7. It specifically says service animal. It says an animal having special training to assist aid a person with disabilities. Again, I think that we need some stipulation because there's several things even in the news that somebody says this is my service chicken or this is, you know, just different things. I think there has to be some kind of certification that's a valid certification if we're talking specific service animals. Sterilization. It's the surgical removal of the reproductive organs of an animal to render the animal unable to reproduce. However, there is another option. Actually, one of the last vet that we had, she's actually moved, but there's something called chemical suturing, in which there's actually, it's a surgical procedure. So I think that and the reason that it's not highly known is because there's only a certain number of vets in the entire country that can actually do that. So I think we at least need to put that in there just in case. I already touched on the vaccination certificate. I think that if we can have a piece of document that shows that the animal is that way, I think that that will save a lot of the tags being lost. It's something that everyone can keep. And if somebody asked about it, they could have it there. In 8, again, we have animals, shelter, services manager. Impounded animals with visible identification or a microchip or that have a collar shall be held no less than 120 hours, which is 5 days. Any animal not reclaimed by its owner within 120 hours, 5 days, shall become the property of the city and shall become available for adoption in a suitable home or humanely euthanized. Again, we have the whole city, county versus things. And when our animals are going in the facility, they're not really deemed as this is city dog, this is county dog. It's all of our dogs, county and city. So I think we need to have this may be something that we need to partner with county to get specific pieces of this. I'm sure it happens, it makes me sad that animals that have identification their owners haven't reclaimed them, can actually be adopted out. I sometimes think people displace animals in good faith and then they end up, and the owner has no idea where they're at. under Animal Control Officer 91.3, it talks about cats running at large, etc. We don't really have a TNR program that's effective any longer. The city is working towards that. However, we do have in our ordinance here that we will provide TNR as monies are available. But there's also other things in here that I think if we're not going to have a TNR program that we as a council actually put into the budget each year, I think that that's something that needs to be addressed as well. Because it says that, but yet we don't have a TNR program, especially when there's so many feral cats, and the other part says that, hey, if you feed this animal, it's yours for 3 days. Same page, 91.4, dog and cat license required. This is something that I would like council to consider. Licenses for dogs is in our ordinance. I personally believe that we should propose an ordinance or add this to an ordinance that makes it mandatory to have your animal microchipped. I believe that if your animal is microchipped, then it kind of alleviates the fact that your dog or cat is licensed. Because currently, as it is now, you have to go to PD,
from 9 to 4, Monday through Friday, during regular business hours. So we don't have any avenue to go on the weekends. So if a dog or cat owner needs to get that, it's at the PD, and they're the ones. And then our animal control officer has to keep track of all of those, etc. So, and it's supposed to run in concurrent with rabies vaccines. However, if you had the rabies vaccine and then you got your shot, then you got your tag, then it's going to be off anyway because you got your tag later than your rabies vaccine. So I don't think, I would like to consider making having a proposal for mandatory microchips for all animals, cats, dogs that people actually own. Again, that's what I just said. On page 10, it talks about the licensing because there are some rabies vaccines that go for 3 years. So if the license is every year, then it makes it difficult. That was part of that. Page 7, there's some definitions in there, so I think that we can probably condense some of the things that are there. On 14, this goes back to, I know that there's calls into dispatch that talk about animals barking. So there's something that says an owner may not leave a dog outside and unattended by use of a restraint that unreasonably limits the dog's movement. So it says between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And then it lists some other pieces of it. On that same page is the trap, neuter, and return program. So I think that's something that we need to look at as well because of the fact that we don't have a program currently. The city manager has applied for a grant for that, so hopefully we'll hear from them soon. There's a whole section on the whole part. There is something about mandatory spay or neutering of unrestrained dogs and cats after they've been received at the shelter numerous times. So I think, but then there's also specifications that if the animal is this, if the animal is that, if the animal is this, then it doesn't apply to them. So I think we need to look at that. There's a section about rabies. I think that we probably need to look into that. It talks about impounding such animal for a period of 6 months in a place approved or to have the said animal humanely euthanized. I'm only looking at that because of the last our last meeting when we were talking about the cost to house a quarantined animal. So that's there. Again, on page 23, it talks about tags. I'm not a big fan of tags. I actually had a dog that got stuck in the fence. He was out there, and he was fine. He wasn't unattended, so it was caught, but that's another reason that I'm not a fan of that because they run the fence line. That's about biting. On page 25, it talks about the animal is currently vaccinated against rabies and possesses a current city license tag. Again, I think if an animal is microchipped, I think that should take the place of having to do those tags every year. Talks about roosters. If anybody's hearing roosters, there are roosters at the county that the county picked up that are currently at the facility right now because there are four. However, they're much happier now. They're not mean anymore. There's a spot for wild animals performing animal exhibitions. There's nothing in here that talks about snakes, reptiles, and I think we need to put something in there about dangerous animals that include certain snakes that probably would scare most people or kill people when they got out.
And that falls under the exotic?
Yeah.
And going back to poisonous reptiles.
Yes. But specifically naming
those enlarged tortoises?
I don't remember the exact word in my head. There is a Texas Parks and Wildlife has a definition of what is specifically a venomous.
Yes,
venomous. All pit vipers.
Yeah, the same thing.
Because that was only specified.
It is simple to run down to Academy and $10 for a license to have a firm to have one in the state. So all we had discussed was including in the ordinance of registry. No additional fees or anything, but they had to have the state permit and then let us know that they were holding the boom vipers or, you know, some other dangerous reptile in the city. In the event it got out, we had to go into the public. Fire.
We knew it
was there.
Send Chief Alfaro in if it's snakes.
That's where you go with the shotgun.
No, not Chief.
Yeah, section 91.30, keeping of wild non-domesticated animals.
The Animal Advisory Committee on page 28. Kirby Animal Care Advisory Committee shall consist of four members appointed by the city manager. The member of this committee shall include a licensed veterinarian, a municipal officer, a shelter employee, and one member of an animal welfare organization. That is another thing that our city manager made reference to with that committee. Councilmember Grant sits on that, and the rest are, with the exception of Chief that attends that, the rest are all county people. Trying to look here. So in here, as far as adoptions, there is also something that says that if the animal isn't old enough to be spayed or neutered, that a sterilization agreement would be sent out. I'm not necessarily sure that that's a great thing. Because if somebody doesn't come back and then somebody's having to sit there and keep tabs on that person. So that may be something that we look at, maybe possibly look at other ordinances as well in other communities. On page 33, there is a fee schedule, and again it gives you the license for dogs and cats annually are $2 for neutered and $5 for unneutered. I again think if we had a microchip mandate that would forego that. There's also impoundment fees that dog or cat neutered, dog or cat unneutered, the first offense is this much, the first offense, and so it's different for altered or unaltered. Personally, I don't think it really matters if your dog is altered or unaltered. If it's running at large, I believe that there should just be one fee. An altered dog can be just as much nuisance as an unaltered dog. So I think that we need to possibly look at just making one fee so that it's easier.
Well, they all perform the same service to your front yard. It doesn't matter.
Well, exactly. That's kind of, and
your circus animals per day, $100.
And dart into the street, or you know, regardless of whether it's altered or unaltered, it can still be vicious or appearingly to be vicious. So I would say that, and I don't even know if these even need to be updated. I don't know if these are the going rate because this was done in 2013. There are also. Right, and that was kind of because when they intake the animal, they're given those shots, and it's supposed to be, you know, part of the adoption fee, etc. However, if a dog comes in there stray and somebody reclaims it, when they do give those shots, we charge them. Mm-hmm. However, the surrender fee for a dog or cat. Is $35, and then it goes in litter, small animal. I firmly believe that we need to have something in there that in addition to a amount fee that we should mandate that there has to be some form for a specific time frame that they have to
volunteer at our shelter. I think that they should have community service at the shelter. I don't know how to word that. I don't know if that's even feasible, but, you know, volunteering at the shelter doesn't necessarily consist of cleaning kennels. I mean, there's lots of items that can be done. There's laundry, there's washing dishes, there's walking dogs.
Feeding snacks.
Yeah, feeding snacks, feeding them snacks. So, I mean, there's, you know, reading, whatever. I just believe that because, I mean, it's fairly low. I mean, $35 to say here, you know, be somebody else's responsibility. And again, I know that there are circumstances where somebody feels that they have to surrender their animal, but there's a lot of them that are just like, I found this dog, you know, kind of thing. And I just think that if people, we're talking about getting, you know, people involved, and that's one way to see the impact of what happens when you do return your animal, or you do say, hey, I found this puppy and I don't know what to do with it. And now that I picked it up, I wasn't responsible enough to know what I should do. So I'm just going to go dump it at whatever shelter that will say yes. I mean, I see it all the time on Facebook. People are like, hey, well, try this shelter. And they've picked it up 40 miles away from their home. You know, they were on the way home. And so I just think that we need to figure out a way to at least say, you know, follow back up when somebody surrenders an animal. If they haven't come back with community service, that something happens. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know what direction. I just think community service should be part of that. So those are just my suggestions. I'm hearing a lot of awful sighing back there. I know it's long. Sorry. Anyone else have any suggestions with those? And I don't know, as far as the application, I know this went back to the shelter operations, but as far as the application for that, will that be part of the discussion with county or? Okay. All right.
Well, we can. Oh, that is one thing I wanted to ask.
Yes,
as far as if our people are able to put animals out for adoption. I would like to see our age at 18 and not 21.
And no matter who's doing adoption, so you can
yes.
consider that. Because this is some application that says 21. You look at, there are like four other cities that make it 18 as long as you live with someone else, they sign off
for
it.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So, again, please. After tonight's meeting, before this comes back again, please send Monique any information or suggestions that y'all have to that ordinance. All right, item 9M. Update, discussion, and possible action on Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project.
Hi, Mark.
How are y'all doing? Our update is we, after our meeting 2 weeks ago, we met with the contractor at the site, provided a letter to him identifying specifically the items where he was not up to snuff, and required that he provide us means and methods that he's going to take to get back on schedule and abide by the phasing that we discussed. And those are the major issues. Talked about the traffic control and provided you with his updated schedule there. I talked with them, got an email from him this afternoon. I asked him exactly what his plan was to get back on schedule. If you look at the calendar there, we're about a month behind. And the idea is that phase two is a short phase with a minimal amount of asphalt work to be done, and primarily it's all concrete, no driveways. He anticipates that if he can get his sub-consultant out there and done quickly on phase three, he can have, it'll be his own concrete crews doing the work after that.
Good.
And he can put two crews on the project instead of just having this one. So that's his plan. He'll probably have to go through phase three and four to catch up. His two-week schedule is finishing pouring concrete at Rose Aldrin, scheduled for approximately 2 p.m. Sidewalk at north of the city, from the old city limits
checking on his dates?
Yes.
So today, I received a call right before our meeting that there is a resident that is at Buzz Aldrin and Benzingelman who has rebar in her front yard.
Okay. We need to direct that to Gilbert so he can get out there and tell them.
So I'm just letting you know, though, that your comments to them on that part may have fallen on deaf ears. So, because I'm hoping that part of your discussion was be cognizant and, you know, people's yards and property and those kinds of things, which I'm sure it was. So.
I didn't mention rebar specifically.
Well, no. Oh, well, I would hope that you wouldn't have to mention each equipment that it's it seemed that they shouldn't be putting their materials in someone's front yard, not on the sidewalk, but literally in the front yard. So there is still an issue with that hasn't been answered as far as some of the shrubbery that was removed during the sidewalks. If there
it's shrubbery's in the right of way, it's not a tree, it's not protected. Unless the owner specifically asked for it to be withheld and given back to them. And if there's an issue with that, I'm just going to go
with you. Okay, Gilbert, you'll be getting a phone call.
Yeah, they want that. That's, we don't make that kind of guarantee.
So
it wasn't true.
Why wasn't that three separate projects? It's not my shrubbery, but I mean, some of my yard is gone too. If I wasn't put out to us, hey, if you're going to move something, do you want to hold it or not? A very separate project, I won't go into it. I did rebar in front of my house in the street. I had to drive on as soon as my driveway. For 3 days now, I had to throw it on my main sidewalk. I had trash I pick up daily. I had men still walking up to my house using my spigot. So I am not ecstatic.
And Ms. Riggs was not the person who called me about the rebar, so apparently there's another one. So.
when that happens, you need to call Public Works so they can take care of it. That shouldn't have that immediately should be addressed.
So now Public Works is in charge of the project, or you're in charge of
the project? Public Works is inspecting the project.
Okay.
So inspectors are out there, should be out there daily, and they're the ones who's tracking the progress of the project. My responsibility is to be out there weekly and make sure the overall progress is moving on as it's following up. If there are day-to-day issues like trash, rebar, guys using the spades, I think it's better.
Okay. Is there a specific place that you would like those complaints, Gilbert? Is there a specific place or a way a communication avenue that you would like those complaints to come to you?
Or yeah, either straight to my phone or straight to the email.
Okay.
Either way, I'm not in my office.
That's why I'm asking, because I don't want, I didn't know if you wanted it up to City Hall so that they could, you know, get a hold of you or because.
With the project itself, the best way to just come straight to me as far as the email and phone, and then as soon as I get those emails, I check the email 3 times a day on the emails and phone. I'll get back to you. You should be within a couple hours, sometimes 24 hours. I'll be right after the visit. When I go out there, sometimes I'll have violations or anything. I'll let the contractor know. I think what happens also at times is they switch from the last time that they had an issue with the trash. I think they switched subcontractors, didn't they? With the company, or they're using them less, and they're using their guys. So there might have been a mismatch.
number of chiefs? All right, thank you. I didn't skip any, right? The background. All right. Item 10A, discussion and direction of the proposed fiscal year 2018-2019 budget. I will turn this over to Tina.
Okay, I have given you a revised budget from what we talked about the last meeting. Now with our insurance and other things. So if we can start with page one on the general fund revenue. The only thing I changed was building permit was at $85,000. I knew that we were going to get permit from Judson ISD. I had no idea when we were going to get it and how much it was going to be. So I kind of went up on it thinking it was going to be the next fiscal year. With that being said, we just got their permit. It was on August the 14th, and it was over $100,000.
We'll
so I went ahead and took it back down by $10,000 because I don't know what permits we're going to have next year, the quick trip being done and all that. And so with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and when I amend the budget for the last time for the fiscal year, I will amend the budget for the permit because we got such a big permit from Justin ISD. So that's the reason why I changed that. Going on to page two of the revenues, I changed the CDBG grant, which is the one that we're doing for Hickory Herald. The $20,912, that is what we got awarded from Bexar County, and so that is the current amount. The MPO project, Van Abelman Road, kind of doing the estimate, it's $1,910,870. So hopefully that will be the correct amount for the remainder of the grant coming in for the next fiscal year.
Get the stuff that they were supposed to so that we would pay them? Did they? Okay. Sorry. Remind me.
Is there any questions on the revenues? Okay. Everything else is pretty much minimal changes. You'll see for every department, you'll see insurance change, and some of it may be decreased because we have less premium on our vision, dental, and life insurance. Or you may see an increase because, like, we are looking into the sixth employee for ESD, you know, so there's some minor change, except for the fire department, because they got six new employees coming in. But you'll see some minor changes as far as the health insurance with the dental and vision. So you will see that in all departments. So that's one of the highlighted areas for each department. I do want to go to the fire department. You will see a change all the way down on the salaries and benefits. And as Monique and I were talking, she brought to my attention that with the assistant chief going over to the ESD, that we would make his position salary.
Excellent.
Rather than regular, hourly. So anyways, that's the changes for that.
So it'll be changed to an exempt position? It's an exempt position.
Yeah.
So with all that being in place, everything changed as far as the taxes and retirement and everything. So that's the reason why you see yellow all the way through on the fire department. Again, the rest of them are going to be the insurance that are highlighted.
On animal services, if we have the Kennel Tech being an ACO, is there any extra stuff as far as on animal services?
That's already added in there.
Okay.
It's just a minor, like, dollar hourly rate increase.
Okay. So uniforms, all that, I mean, okay.
And were we adding the other personnel for here for the animal tech?
That's not in here. That's correct.
And if I, it was a split, and I think it was 7,900 was what our portion would be, something like that. Kirby's share would be 7,330.
What we would have to do, since the city pays for the kennel techs on our payroll, we would have to add the full amount, $36,652, which is salary and insurance, into the budget, and then, of course, we would collect back our portion from the county.
So would we add that back to, or would it show in revenues?
Yeah, that goes in back to our revenues, yes.
No, you just a swap out. You have an expenditure, and then you have the incoming revenue quarterly, right? Yeah. So just a swap.
And so what they have that. Are they based on 2080?
$1,080 for the.
I'm only asking, so what is that dollar figure?
Okay, you're talking about total salary for the, okay, for the salary itself is $29,413.75, including the insurance, or adding the insurance, there's another $7,522, so you're looking at 30.
So that figure is including insurance?
No.
That's on his presentation. I'm just saying that figure came from us.
Right. We gave him that figure based on what we pay our current.
Okay, that's what I was going. Okay, that's where I was going. Okay, because I was like, okay, all right. That's why I was wondering where that figure came from. But the animal placement specialist.
That's the figure the county
came up with. Okay. So yes, that 7,330 would be our portion, although we would have to put that entire amount.
You just got to front it, and then you get it paid back, and it comes out to the 73. Right.
So is everybody under the general consensus that we add that?
Yep.
Sorry, Pierce. Are you comfortable adding the kennel tech?
Yes.
Thomas? Okay. And so just to reiterate that part, county share would be $29,322. Kirby share is $7,330.
Right.
And there was nothing else as far as that piece of it on their request. So I don't think anybody's ready to move on the other. I don't know. Is anybody ready to move on the other position? Or? Okay.
Let's just see where we're at.
All right.
See how the meeting goes.
Okay. For Park Street, again, we changed the insurance amount. If you go to page 12, you'll see asphalt truck added. I know that there have been some concerns and discussions, and so what I did is I brought it to brought the attention to the CPA how we could, if we could possibly add the asphalt truck to the street. And what I had told her is that there is time, you know, water mains or water leaks, that they tear up the street as well. And that if the water department could cover that truck. And she advised that I can move the money for the truck from the water department into the general fund so that we leave the asphalt truck in the street department.
Good.
So with that being said, is that, you know, because water does have a portion on that, that it was viable to go ahead and make that change if we need to do that. So I went ahead and put that amount in there, but I also, on the very last page of the general fund, and I'll get to that in a minute, show the transfer from the water department to the general fund to cover that truck.
I would like us to talk to the city attorney to make... I would like us to talk to the city attorney before we did this, just to make sure that it's all clear and done, because we've never, the city's never pulled money out of the water to put into the streets for this type of a fund. And I would like just for the attorney to approve that it was worded correctly, and let's not get caught in the middle of something again before we approved it.
That there is some other cities that do, you know, do transfers like that, but to make it straight and to make it look right. Now, if it wasn't for water that could damage street, then we could not do it. So, like, if you wanted to move funds from water to buy a police car,
right, right. I understand that, but just to make sure that we don't get caught in the middle of stuff, I would like to have the city's attorney approving what we're thinking about doing.
I just wanted to mention that. I know there was some discussions about the asphalt truck to try to keep the street that we, you know, completely renovated to keep them up. So I'm going to general operations. I updated the liability and vehicle insurance. It went up almost $6,000. And I got the information from our agent from TML, and he said that there was a 5% increase in the auto physical damage. There was also mobile equipment, heavy equipment addition. So when we purchased the backhoe and when we purchased the car, they give it to us at the time when we purchased the vehicle and we put them on our insurance, it gets prorated. So therefore, our insurance that we pay at the time is not for the full year. So that's where some of this comes in at, is an additional vehicle or backhoe expense, because it wasn't a full year at the time we purchased it last year. So out of that, almost $3,000 is because of the additional insurance. And then, of course, there were some replacement values, and 1.2% on all building values were up 100%. And I've heard all along, you know, because we've had the Hurricane Harvey last year, you know, it seemed like everybody getting penalized for that, but it just, you know, rates going up. So I did question about that. So that's some of it. On the accounting and auditor, I added $1,500 to that. I got that from her. And then on telephone, I have mentioned that to Monique that we have mobile airtime on the water side. And so what we decided to do was, because we have an on-call phone for the public works and It's mainly the water department that uses it. So we transfer some money from the general fund over to the water side to cover the telephone and mobile airtime for that department. So I reduced that by $2,000 since the last time.
Page 14, you'll see right under where it says transfer for PW vehicle.
That's at $148,761. That is where I put the money in as a transfer from the public works to cover that vehicle for the street. I also changed the transfer to debt service to $252,470. That is going to be our first payment amount for the Series 2018 general obligation debt. So I reduced that by $100,000. And the reason I did was so that we can try to be at the 4 months reserve. I talked to the CPA about this as well. She suggested that we keep the $100,000, but right now I could take that out, knowing that we are going to get our money from the 2017 ambulance report. We filed that. The problem is we don't know how much we're going to get, and we don't get the money till October. So with that money come in October and they do our audit, that money's going to go back to the 2017. Our final reserve is going to have that money added from that ambulance report. So once we get our audit completely finished, then at that time we would transfer over $100,000 back to the debt service. So I just did this so that we can be at 4 months reserve.
So when does, on the debt service, when is the first payment, the 252, what time frame does that become due?
It's always, both of them are always due in March and September. And that 252,470, that is just the interest payment. There's no principal payment the first year for the 2018 debt. Questions about the general fund? Okay, moving on to water, the only thing that I changed, again, I changed the insurance amount. Page 2, I increased the sewage treatment because the sewage rate has increased. So I've increased that. And you'll see where I made it mobile airtime and telephone. You'll see general fund to the water department to cover their telephone and airtime. And then you'll see on page 3, I didn't highlight it, but with the transfer out, I put on the transfer for public works vehicle. So you'll see the money being transferred out of the water department to cover the general fund. The only thing I did to the debt service, I changed the bond interest now since we got the final figures for the 2018 bond. So that includes the 2018 interest and also the 2009 series obligation debt that we have, and that will be the end of that one. And then I just changed the amount that we're transferring from the general fund to transfer in. Hopefully this will take care of the budget.
Please.
For the change on the
calendar. And the sewage that's going
you'll recall a few weeks back I sent you an email to inform you that SAWS is going up on the cost that we're charged for sewage treatment in January. The last two times that they went up, the city just absorbed those costs. We did not pass them on to the customer. I do believe we need to bring that ordinance
consider passing this increase on to the customer, because then that will just continue to have to increase what the city's covering. We already increased from $500,000 to $600,000 last fiscal year to this fiscal year, and now we're looking at another $43,000 possibly for next year. So we do think we need to consider that.
Yep.
There's just no stopping then.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because it started several years back when we saw the interpretation carried on there, and they did have a 50-some% increase at one time, and then an annual escalation that they were going to add to make it not caught up.
And it's just disheartening because we don't get the same service from SAWS. We're just using them to treat our sewage.
Caution.
Our department, I mean, our public works is maintaining the line, so that's all that it's doing.
And I would like to consider, because I know we talked about our public works director as a suggestion, maybe we sit down with SAWS and see if we can negotiate a different rate specifically for Kirby, considering the fewer services that we do require from them.
I think that to me is... I think that should be something that we do, because again, we are always going to fall in that to pass it on, and we don't. I mean, they're not managing our lines, and it doesn't seem that we should have to pay the same percentage. So I think that's definitely a conversation that needs to be had.
Well, whenever you get those, count me in, because I've had a lot of dealings with SAWS. They have a lot of stuff that they can do. I mean, because by the time they start doing this, I hate to put it on Gilbert, but we could probably open our own wastewater treatment plant and keep everything rolling in that through here.
Okay,
are there any questions or additions or other questions? Now's the time to ask, because this will be our last meeting as far as our putting our heads together and asking.
They're going to be okay if we add the other animal tech to it on the budget?
I believe so. Without that, sitting in front of the computer.
Right.
Let me. Technically, because the figure that they had, the 36, was with. The 36,652, that number was with insurance as it sits today, and the insurance didn't increase.
Right.
So our portion is 7,330.
Right.
So that's technically what, even though we're having to put the same amount in, I mean the full amount, that technically is the amount that would increase for that. Yes?
Right. And then once you talk to the lawyer about the wordings on the water, moving it from water to there, I'm fine with it.
Could we go back to the asphalt that Public Works is supposed to have done? Your Public Works, your asphalt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It falls underneath that same category.
Did
passed last year or the year before.
There was something else that you talked about.
Me?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. There was something that you had asked about before. So does everybody just want to flip through those pages? Is everybody comfortable with that?
And more fun than I can stand.
I know you have.
Brain is blush.
So just to remind everybody, August 30th, 6 o'clock, we'll be here for the second public hearing on the tax rate, and then we have the first and second reading on the budget as of the 13th and 20th.
Okay, so on September 30th, can we get with the lawyer to make sure what Debbie's asking, that that's taken care of?
Yeah, he will be able to get back Monday on vacation.
September the 20th, September date?
13th.
Say, can you repeat the September dates?
Yes, so September 13th and 20th.
Great. Okay.
Okay, is there anything else?
Can I go home, please?
In just a moment, you can. You have to say your goodbyes first.
Bye.
All right, so item 11, requests and announcements, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas, and announcement on city events, community interests. Council member Apodaca.
No, I don't have anything.
Council member Wilson.
No, just remember the fireworks Labor Day weekend.
Oh. Remember the fireworks Labor Day weekend.
Ditto, Councilman Wilson.
I just wanted to thank the police department for coming by my house the other night, checking on me, since nobody in my family put their phones on. They all had them on
silent
things, and I had my phone right next to my nightstand, and I was sound asleep. But I want to thank them for coming by to check on me. My daughter and Ciblo called them, worried about her daddy. So thank the two officers that came by. I don't know who they were. Yeah, I appreciate the help. That's all I got.
Councilmember Grant.
Believe it or not, I'm done.
Councilmember Pierce.
I'm with Councilmember Grant. Just appreciate everybody showing up.
Yeah, and I know that we lost some of the audience, but thank you for sticking around, and I'm glad to see you, Jerry. So welcome back. And I would like to, Mr. Mann had already left, but I was appreciative of the fact that he did come and speak. And maybe with there being an open on planning and zoning, maybe we could extend an invitation. Maybe it's something that he would be interested in. We don't have a lot of people that are just jumping, trying to come, but I mean, I appreciate when people speak, so maybe that's an option that he would like to get involved. Awesome. So that may be an option, and especially since he's in that area and he's, thank you to staff. Thank you for all the employees, but thank you, Tina, for the endless nights of the budget, and thank you, our council, for the input, and please continue to send our information to Monique so that we can get this all tidy and no questions, and if you do have questions about the budget, please schedule an appointment with Tina so that she can answer any questions that you might have. She's great one-on-one, so thank you, Tina, for all the information you were giving me and Monique.
I
think Sam Joy from Bermuda.